I fantasized about killing myself all the time as a kid, and I never understood why until I transitioned.
What do you think it was?
Because I was like in the wrong body. I had no idea how to relate to.
You're just off.
Everything was off, and I did not know why. And not being able to relate socially to like the little boys who were my age. That's how I fell into comedy at such a young age. Is because like comedy was my in.
Yeah.
Like if I could be funny, that's how I can be social and have friends for the first time.
It's amazing how much it brings people from such different backgrounds.
That's what I loved about
right together. I mean, religious Christians,
yeah,
and degenerate drug users.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was one of the things that I miss so much about comedy, was like that camaraderie that came with like we may be from like radically different backgrounds, but we're both broken in that fundamentally
yeah.
same way.
Everybody, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. My name is Ari Shaffir, coming to you live from a single location where I'm rehabbing, trying to figure out who is responsible for the attack of my life, the Legion of Skanks podcast called The Trial. Today's episode, fucking good one. This is my view every day. This fucking Airbnb I'm in. This is this giant deck I have. There's a fucking fireplace, but I haven't been able to get it lit yet. This is my dream. If I could have, I mean, you ever do what's it called, porn? Real estate porn? I've been doing it. A lot of my comic friends have been doing it. It seems like since this pandemic and everyone kind of lost their income, they've started going like, hey, I might not be able to work again. And then this weird thing happens where they go, I should buy property. Or like Mark Norman got a fucking classic BMW Bavaria. Might have been a 2002. But some classic BMW. And that's what people are doing. They're like, but anyway, so I'm not going to do that. But you start looking at like, what would I want in a New York apartment? And it's this where I'm at right now. Giant deck, enough room for a hammock you can't see, and enough room for, you also can't see if you're watching youtube.com/RSHFR, please subscribe. A fucking fire pit. Not a built-in fire pit. That's a construction that happens every morning at 6:07 a.m. Just one of those above ground. You know, it's the fire pit of the above ground pool. Just get a fucking tin thing, you put it in, even with the cover on top. It's a dream. And a jacuzzi, and I could put a jacuzzi up here. It'd be big enough. Yeah, this would be great. $45 a night, I think, this is how much this place is. The world is a cheap place. So, on today's episode, you guys, I'm having fun here, though. I'll tell you real quick. On today's episode, it's about transness, transformers, transients, transplants. Nope, definitely not transplants. I did an episode about trans a few years ago for my first apartment in New York with Lauren Hennessy. It was episode one. I wrote it down. 146 or 142. 142. Gender Bender with Lauren Hennessy. And that is a trans man. This one, I got to tell you about where I am. But first, I'll just tell you about this episode. I was at the Skankfest. Skankfest 3, I think. I think the one was called Shaffir Fest. And Naked Roast. One of my favorite things there is. One of my favorite things there is. I had to introduce it that year because Luis Gomez, Team Rattlesnake, you guys. Team Rattlesnake all the way. He was too drunk to announce it. And the important thing about the Naked Roast is you can't take fucking pictures. It won't work unless people think it only exists here. And so Rebecca and Lewis are like, hey, would you mind introducing it? And I straight fucking stole what Florence says from Florence and the Machine. And I saw her at, where did she say this? Governor's Ball in New York. Fucked up on heavy Molly. I mean, fucked up. Sitting with a girl that I was in love with that night. And it carried over for about a year. I mean, I felt a love on that Molly at Governor's Ball that, like, I just kept recalling it forever. I mean, I wanted to break up with her for so long with that fucking feeling. Wish you guys could see these mountains by me. Oh, maybe the clouds will fucking dissipate and you can see them. Yeah, they're kind of moving aside. Sunsets right over there. Right over there, and lights the whole fucking thing up. It's so cool. Anyway, she was like, I just borrowed this line. I was like, get off your phones. She said it nicely. And she goes, we are trying to have a collective experience. I made everyone get off their phones. It was great. And then I sat right down. I mean, I said it and said, okay, here's Zach Amico from the episode 2 weeks ago. Introduce him as the roast, the naked roast fucking MC. And then I went like 4 feet away to the side. And one of the roast battlers came out. They came out just naked. It's hilarious. Some of their dicks are fucking disgusting looking. One guy, I forget his name, Latino guy. He has this like pointy dick. It's like small, but like pointy. It looks like kind of like, you know, when you get to a hotel and they fold over the toilet paper so that you can like, so you can tell no one else used it. Even though it's half a roll, someone else clearly used it. Yeah, it looked like a dick like that. Anyway, boys and girls, different people have done different things. One girl, woman, they have their jokes written down. She brought it out of a baggie out of her fucking pussy. Immediately, she was ahead. So I was sitting there, stewed with a fucking, Jew came out. They all made fun of each other. Sometimes you're a boy, sometimes you're a girl. So I'm beating around the bush. This fucking hot chick came out. Tall, like a 6 foot tall, slender though, hot chick. Nice tits, like nice tits. And I'm fucking on the ground, 8 feet away, underneath a piano or a table, just getting a good view. I love naked roast. And she walks out. I mean, fucking hot with a good body. She walks out. You're not gonna be able to see this. I'm not far enough away. Hopefully you can see it. And she opened up her, like, she was like closed leg, and she opened up her legs, and a fucking giant dick flopped out. I mean, a hog. I got a hog. I got a Jew hog. I'll admit it. That's what I've been told. Although Nikki Glaser had a bit that said, like, girls say to every guy, like, your dick is perfect. So then I'm like, I have heard that before. So maybe it's small. I don't know. The girls I fucked would have to weigh in. Anyway, fucking hog, and it fucking leveled the place. I was slamming the ground. Trans woman had another dick chopped off with a giant hog. A chick with a giant hog. That should be the title of this podcast. That chick with a giant hog. That lady with a giant hog, something like that. Anyway, right then I was like, oh, it's great. It took me a year or two before I finally get it off my ass. And asking her, Margot Reese, I asked Christine Okerson, I was like, hey, who's that girl who did the naked roast, the trans girl? Woman, excuse me. Margot. So I was like, give me your info. And I got her on. And so she just talked about being a podcast. She did want me to tell you guys, she is in no way an expert on being a trans. She only has her own experience. But I was like, Margot, that's completely the fucking, that's everybody in this podcast. Last week with Eli, he doesn't know medically what OCD is all about. He just knows his experience. So don't worry about it, Margo. If you want to contact her and let her know that you like the episode, on Instagram, it's Margo Agogo. On OnlyFans. That's right. She's got an OnlyFans. Every morning. That's every morning at fucking 6 a.m. Oh, you can see the mountain now, right? It's all city. It goes up. And then, like, at night, the city lights up. And then it's just black. And you think the mountain ends there. But it doesn't. It ends way up. I'm out of breath too. I am at fucking elevation, and it is fucking hard to breathe. You climb stairs and you're like, fuck, am I out of shape? And the answer is yes, I am. I've been eating a lot of fried foods. Dude, I went to see a movie yesterday. An art house movie. It was a documentary about some town that lost their fucking statue. And then it stopped raining there for 60 years. And then they went to the head museum where the statue was, the Saint of Rain. Got the thing back, and it started fucking raining again. Spoiler alert. I couldn't follow all of it. It was in another language, but the shots were fucking beautiful. Anyway, the cool thing, they take COVID seriously here. People wear their masks while they're driving. I noticed that. And I'm like, why? Everybody wears it outside. Everybody wears it inside. You'll see an occasional degenerate, like in the park with it off. This feels wrong because I'm like, I'm on this private deck, so it's allowed, but like, And when they eat, they take it off. Spaced out restaurants, but everybody wears their mask all the time. You go into a supermarket, any supermarket, they take your temperature on your wrist. Someone's stationed there. They spray you down with hand sanitizer, and then they let you in. And you got to step in a little bin with, like, I think hand sanitizer on it. And you got to step with both feet and then walk in. They don't fuck around. They don't fuck around here, dude. They had it bad. And the numbers, I don't know. They've been pretty great. I feel way safer here than I did from the country I left in. But anyway, I saw this movie, and I hadn't seen a movie, I mean, this whole 2020, I don't think. I don't think I saw one. It might have been Joker was the last one. No, it might have been that Korean film. But that was last year, right? I might not have seen one this whole year. Yeah. So I was missing it. And they have one. They say it's spaced out. And, dude, it was spaced. Nobody saw it because it was a fucking documentary. But a couple in the balcony, and then me and this fucking dude I'm fucking on the bottom floor. And they walk you in. I got there 5 minutes late. And they walk you in, and there's already some people there. And they were, like, taking us with a flashlight to our seats. And there was already some lady sitting there. And I'm like, no, we'll sit back here where nobody is. Like, you said it was going to be spaced out. And she was like, come on. And I'm like, no. You ever get the place where they put you in a place where you're not comfortable COVID-wise and you got to, like, figure it out? So I was like, I'm going to step over, but we're going to move seats immediately. It was a dummy. They put dummies in the audience to help space people out. It was so fucking cool and weird. There was some flapper lady sitting right behind me the whole time. I kept looking over. It's a dude with a Lucha Libre mask, a dummy in the back. And that way it's spaced out where you can't sit with the dummies and they have their, like, purses and other chairs. It was so fucking weird. You got to see a picture of this. Yeah, anyway, I'm having a fucking blast, you guys. I'm having a fucking blast. There's something else I wrote down that I wanted to talk about. I'm going to talk about, you got to remind me. I'll do it in next episode. I got to talk to you about Dog Boy. Oh, I got to tell you about her idea about phantom limbs. I'll do that in the outro. She was a neuroscientist, Margot. And what else does she want me to tell you? Guys, oh, I have a sponsor too. Sheath Underwear. Some of the underwear. I only brought 4 pairs of underwear with me. I'm doing a minimalist packing this time. And 2 of them were Sheath. Let me show you. Jimmy. Where's the Sheath one? Oh, here we go. Robert. Veteran who made Sheath Underwear. He supports Weirdo Podcast. I'm telling you, I've had lots of sponsors that I've lost because I went too far when they said, you can say anything. Fucking, he does not say that, Robert Patton. He's a former, I don't know what the fuck he was, Marine Commander-in-Chief? I think he was a former Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Army. I asked him if I could make a Jew pair of underwear. He said maybe. Okay, sheathunderwear.com. 30% off till the end of the year. What, dude? You can't make any money with 30% off, Robert. 30% off till the end of the year. Then it goes back to 20%. If you use promo code Ari, sheathunderwear.com. Here's the main key. It's got a fucking, every morning, 6 a.m., it's got a pouch in the underwear. So you put your balls and possibly your dick. It's up to you. I don't put my dick through. There's a hole and then a pouch. You can put your dick through the hole. I don't like it. Some people don't like that. But the pouch works great. It just keeps your underwear from, it keeps your balls, especially me, I have long balls. And that, I don't need a woman to tell me. I got long balls. Keeps from sticking to your fucking legs. Great product for a man. And because of the topic of this podcast, it is also occasionally a great product for a woman. Sheath Underwear. Not just for men anymore. It's also for chicks with dicks. You guys never thought about that. That's right. That's a fucking full woman. Dude, I'm telling you, it was the same one I did with Lauren Hennessy. And this one's a little different because this one, Margot, I mean, she's hot. So Lauren didn't look like a woman. It didn't look like a man. She looked like a woman. She hadn't gone through any sort of, like, a bush woman maybe, but just a woman. Margot, from the outside, you pass her on the street, you're like, God damn, You know, I think her, if you watch the video, her boobs were out for a lot of it, or mostly out. And it was like Tom Hanks in Big, where I kept trying to like look down and then look back at her face, but I couldn't help but look down. But after you talked, this is what I learned. This is what I love, this fucking podcast, man. I get to like find new things in life and ask real questions that you can never ask a stranger. And so I'm talking to this trans woman for a while. And the same thing when I was talking to a trans man with Lauren in episode 142. And after a few minutes, it's just, you lose that, you know, when the first time you've heard of trans and you're like, oh, that's not a woman, that's a man, he's got a dick. Or if in Lauren's case, that's a chick, she's got a pussy. And then you meet some, and that's the benefit of like living in a place like New York or anywhere where you come in and have a life experience. At some point, you're like, oh, I get it now. This is what happened when I talked to Lauren. 30 minutes in, I was talking to a dude. There was no part of me that imagined that as a woman anymore. And with Margot too, and it was easier because she's, I told you, she's a hot chick. But once you start talking, it's just like you're talking to a woman. So that idea that it's like, well, it's a man that decided, it's like, that's out. You get their inner sense. It's cool. What else do you want me to tell you? She's not a fucking what's it called? Yeah. She's not a spokesman for the trans community, which I obviously. Why won't this open? Margot. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I feel it was very positive in production. Oh, also, I'm going to tell you now, I know I said dude way too much. I call women dude. I think I got it from, what's that show with Alana Glazer? Broad City. I enjoy it. I enjoy calling women dude. And then this woman, it became a harder thing. I started saying dude naturally, but it was like, fuck, it took on different connotations. I didn't mean it that way. I meant it chick dude. Let's see. She's no way the best person to represent the trans community, nor am I a gatekeeper for who is or isn't trans. She's simply a comic. We saw her do the naked roast battle and kill it at Skankfest. You spelled Shafir Fest wrong. And I'm out here trying to humanize the trans experience. My words are my own. Can't speak for the experience of anybody else. Absolutely. Fucking love that. That's why I had you on. Trans women are not a fetish. We are not a dirty little secret. We're not freaks, mentally ill, or threats. I think she covered that. We are your sisters. Well, not my sister. Your mothers. That'd be awesome if my mother was one, though. Your daughters. Okay, I'll stop you right there. If I have any daughters that survived the fucking abortion attempts. First of all, you're a survivor. Congratulations. Lone survivor. Oh, no, I do have a daughter. I adopted Jessica Michelle Singleton. Hey, she's trans, apparently. Anyway, the point is, they're actual human beings and fucking treat them with respect. We've always been a part of the fabric of society. That being said, our society's economy, I love this, is in the shitter. And I got to make some fucking money. So subscribe to my OnlyFans at OnlyFans.com/sexygiantess. ESS. If you ever wanted to see a chick with a dick, go ahead and sign up for her fucking OnlyFans. You can see a fucking hog, bro. A fucking meaty one. For the record, I think the handle I chose for myself is fucking stupid. It's old, and I'll change it as soon as this episode airs and I get as many followers as I can. Trans women are women, period. JK, number four, JK Rowling is a TERF piece of shit and can go fuck herself. I recall my tit hanging out from us at the interview. It was an accident. I hope it didn't look ridiculous. Nah, Margo, it looked hot. So let's start the episode, right? Don't forget, guys, sheathunderwear.com. I'm hoping I did a whole episode for them once from a fucking creek bed, and I said the fucking, what's it called wrong? Sheathunderwear.com. Save 30% of the end of the year. They got a Flower of Life psychedelic pattern. Okay. Collaboration with Right Sensation Riff Raff. The main key is that the pouch keeps your balls off your leg. Many women don't even use the pouch at all. Yeah, you guys get it. This one I want to read because I like it. Because every once in a while, you got to support good things. Look at the mountain open up instead of just bad things. We are putting our advertising dollars to good use. Sponsoring free speech comedians. Think about that, Los Angeles comics. And the right to kick people's asses with MMA fighters. But we also sponsor cowboys that literally ride horses because it keeps them from sitting on their balls. Oh, yeah, dude. When I fucking go biking, sometimes you sit on that thing. Thank you for choosing to work with us. Yeah, I personally think you are Ari the Great. Talk soon. Let me know the new address. I don't have an address, Robert. I don't have an address. In these shoes, dude, that's one of my favorite things that Tom Rhodes ever said to me. I saw somebody, it was at, could have been Moon Tower Comedy Festival. I don't think it was Montreal. And I barely knew Tom Rhodes. He's so fucking cool. I mean, clearly I live, model some of my life after him, you know. It's not that unobvious. But somebody's like, Tom, where are you living these days? And he goes, in these shoes, brother. I mean, it was definitely a line he'd used before, but I love it. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm living in these shoes. It's freedom. I wish you guys could have it. All right, so let's start the episode, shall we? Don't forget to sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/AriShaffir. Bonus content, new stickers. I was going to do $12 a month, but I already had these $10 a month people, so I might just do 10. I don't know. I'll figure it on there. But there's different tiers now. I finally got off my ass now that I have free time. And that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, please sign up for my YouTube and press subscribe and shit. But otherwise, sit back and enjoy this episode. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 407. Could be 6, 7. Could be 8. Could be 408. Fantastic 409. We got to do a clean one for 409. 408, I guess. Let's call it. That lady with the giant hog with Margot Rees starts now.
So I want to, I mean, you've been cool enough to come in and talk about this, but like, I want to talk to you about some of this,
you have some questions, don't you?
Well, you know, it's like, let's say like Black Lives Matter and stuff, and then all these white people like, I have a question, like, you actually cannot ask it. I'm like, fuck, what am I going to learn?
Again, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You can be curious all you want, just don't be a dick about your questioning.
Yeah.
I realize that I am a person, and like, I do have my... I try to, you know, be private, but yet, like, at the same time, I'm hawking an OnlyFans, so yeah. I don't even know where the fuck I stand on this issue.
That's a giant piss. It's only so private. I was in a mall once, and I saw a mom with a kid, and then a wheelchair person go by, and the kid just goes, Mommy, why is that person? And she's like, fucking, that's not the way to do it.
Yeah, I know.
I'll ask your question at home.
They're fucking different. I mean, and you don't want that to be the case, but it's just like, you know... I think I heard a joke one time, I forgot what comic said this, but it's like, you never like go to the mall and see a little person and be like, oh, there's a regular person. You go in your mind, like, it's such a freak show thing, and I hate that, and I feel like I'm like that too sometimes.
Yeah. I think I just remember the first time I saw two like gays kissing on the subway. It was in an Orthodox Jewish community, so it's like, we didn't see it. We took the metro down to like somewhere, and we're like...
Like, how old were you?
14.
That was the first time you had any exposure to the outside world?
I was aware that gays existed, but like to see, it was just like, what?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my mother was like a fag hag, so like I knew what gay people were like from my, like, when I was six, you'll appreciate this, I grew up outside Washington, D.C., when I was six years old.
Very cool.
Yeah. My mother took me one day to the National Holocaust Museum, and then immediately took me to the National AIDS Memorial Quilt. To learn all about AIDS in one day.
Really?
Yeah, that was one day for me when I was 6 years old.
How do you conflate those two things?
Because it was, you know what the AIDS Memorial Quilt is, right? Like, it's a giant one, it's a big blanket of sadness on the National Mall. It's 2 miles long.
It's just sad. There's no like...
Yeah, there's like...
Oh, this guy is fine.
Yeah, but like, I was six, and it's like the only time... It was the last time it was in its full display, and like... I didn't know what the fuck AIDS was. Like, they didn't cover it on Muppet Babies. So I asked my mom. I was like, Mom, what's AIDS? So she told me. I was like, oh, okay. Well, what does gay mean? So she told me. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh.
And that's when I started to cry. Like, I managed to, like, go through the entire day, Holocaust, AIDS, all that fucking shit. I was fine. And then I was just like, oh, that's what being queer is. mother, like that was just when the world hit me a little too hard that day.
Also, the Holocaust is somehow in the past.
Yeah, but like I knew people hated Jews. Like that wasn't a shock to me.
Yeah. Damn. You weren't sexualized yet.
No, not at all. Okay, no. So.
When do people become sexualized? When are they aware
of puberty?
It's puberty?
Around puberty.
And they realize like, oh, I'm into this or that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just your sexuality, like what you like to fuck.
Right.
As far as like your gender and stuff like that, you can get like an early sense of that. Like I was three.
Three?
Yeah, that was like the first time I ever had some kind of like gender variance thing going on.
What happened?
So I was, I was 3 years old. I remember, the memory's a little foggy, but I remember my babysitter at the time denied me something. Yeah. I don't know what that something was. It could have been something gender related. It could have been chocolate. I don't know. But what I very distinctly remember was because I had been slighted as this grand act of defiance, I was going to go over to my mother's purse, pull out her makeup, and put on her lipstick. Like that's, I was like, I'm going to fucking show you bitches.
Wait, in a way like,
in a defiant way.
So I'm acting up?
Or you know, like, it's just like someone denied me something. And I was just like, well, I will show you.
And that's the way you show them.
And that's how I tried to show them up. But you get a real early sense of this shit.
Damn. Because I just don't, like, I'm trying to think, like, that you always hear it's like no one decides when to be gay, which is fine, sure, I get that. But like, when does someone decide when to be, like, hetero? I'm trying to think of myself, like, when did I realize, like...
You never did.
Like chicks.
No, you never did. And it's not like a decision. It's just like, it's a realization.
That I'm into...
Chicks.
Fucking or...
In yeah,
general.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, yeah, this feels good. And like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
You didn't decide it. It's just like a gut natural reaction.
Right. Yeah, right. Because it's 7 years old. I'm like, I don't want to fuck anybody.
You don't even know what fucking is.
Yeah.
But like, you still have like this weird innate attraction to whatever it is that you were into.
I think my fifth grade teacher...
Oh yeah, when you were set,
cleavage like yours, which is like coming out.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no.
And I was like trying to do my math, and she was like leaning over me, and it's like,
oh, I'm sorry. Is this distracting you right now?
No, just reminded me of Miss Barber. So then, at what point do you start? I'm trying to think where to even start this.
Yeah. What do you Margaret? Like? What do you want to know? Like out of a question, because I'm a repository of information, right?
Okay.
Now,
let's just go all over. So the let's place. Just Can
like
we do that.
Yeah. Let's go all over the place. It might not necessarily be about me.
Okay.
My experience is my experience. Like okay. whatever okay. I go through is not representative of trans people as a whole.
Yeah.
I
hate that shit where it's like this means everyone has the same experience.
Oh no.
Like,
I'm not a fucking gatekeeper or anything like that. I'm just on this ride myself, and I've just been exposed to so many other trans people, trans women, trans men. So I have a sense. I probably have a better sense than average Joe on the street of what our collective experiences are.
There's no trans bars, are there?
There's one in the. I think there's two in the city, but they're cruising bars. They're for working.
What do you mean? Oh, sex work.
Yeah, sex work kind of shit. Like, right. Literally, it's a hole in the wall kind of place, and it's just like a bunch of trans women and like men of the internet, we'll call them that, because it's exactly what you'd expect like gross dudes to look like. Trolls.
Yeah,
coming like, in, buying drinks, and there's like these booze off to the side, and you can like pay for a dance kind of shit, but it's like, you know, it's a working bar.
Yeah.
That's the only one that I know of, and it's disgusting.
That's what Tijuana was. Adelita's. It was like, can I pay for a dance? I'm like, okay. But then it's like, yeah, you look good enough. Let's go.
Yeah. It's, yeah. You got a mouth. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Because trans are you? Have you hooked up with trans people?
Of course.
You have?
Yeah. No, that was my ex that I was telling you about a little bit ago. Yeah. You know, she was trans. The girl I went to Colorado with, she was trans as well. I've hooked up with like three different trans women.
Is that
four.
Normal for your experience? Standard?
I don't know. I guess... I would say it's common or frequent because it's like, you know, I have had sex with two genders as two genders. Like I've had sex with men as women and women before I transitioned. I've had sex with men and women after I've transitioned. So I have a very extensive range.
You did the transition?
Yeah, I'm trans.
I mean, I'm sorry. Operation. That's a
different
thing.
Well, you got to be more specific than that because I've had three different operations.
Okay. All right. I gotta get to all these.
You're referring to bottom surgery. You want to know if I have a penis or a vagina. That's what you want to know, but you don't know how to exactly phrase it.
No, I was gonna say if you cut it off, but when you said like transitioned, I was like, I thought that meant the surgery.
Social transition. Okay, like literally, it's like, oh yeah, my name is Margo, everybody. Hey.
So before that, you were living as...
I don't like to say his name.
Okay.
That's like the one thing I don't want to admit on tape is like what my dead name is. It's just embarrassing.
Why embarrassing?
I don't... It just is. I don't know if I can quantify it or anything. It's just like, again, gut reaction. I don't want to hear his name because I really... Because I simultaneously look at that life as, you know, it's still my life, but it's also a different person.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, you're in your 30s now?
Yeah.
So like...
The person I was like 11 years ago is not the same person who's sitting here right now.
Almost everybody has that. You probably more than others.
It's just a little dramatic. That's all.
It's a dramatic change.
Yeah, yeah.
But like everyone is like, ooh, yeah.
Ooh, cringy. No, I... Way different. Okay.
Yeah.
Completely unfuckable.
But, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you have a... You wanted to ask.
How am I... Let's start with trans.
Okay, what is trans?
No. Let's start with... fuck. Yeah, let's start with that. Let's start with some definitions.
Okay, what is trans? When you're trans, it's you are not... You do not feel that your gender, what they assign to you at birth, based on your genitals and stuff like that, matches up internally.
You feel on the inside way different then.
If you were born and everyone said, okay, you're male, and you just say, I do not feel male at all, then you're trans. Trans is a big umbrella term. So that includes like non-binary people. That includes...
Which is more like going back and forth?
I really don't know. If someone says they're non-binary, I just accept it and move on because it doesn't really affect me in any way. So I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
So like if you're non-binary, both genders, agender, gender neutral or something like that, I mean that all falls under the trans umbrella, but I'm very much like on that binary of like, no, I'm a fucking woman.
Right. Yeah, I mean for sure.
Yeah, it's just easier that way. If someone calls me a man and stuff like that, I know it's like they're just trying to hurt me, so I don't give a shit.
Well, because no part of you comes off as mannish.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean you'd have to be like, that's what that was such a surprise at Skankfest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, you like sum people up in the category without even thinking instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Black person, tall person, you know, just like old.
Right,
immediately.
Right.
And then if like an old person suddenly is like, has like a pipsqueak voice, you're like, whoa, whoa.
I wasn't expecting that.
It took me out of it.
Right. And I guess that was the cue that like, you know, I'm a lot further along in my progression than I give myself credit for. Because like I could show you a picture of me like when I started, like not started out, but like when I was before everything, like. Before I moved to New York and stuff like that, you'd be like, who the fuck is that?
With your dead name?
With my dead name. Well, I can... You want to see a picture?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll show you something.
Yeah.
Real quickly. They don't need to know.
Yeah.
You'll just take Ari's word for it. That's all that really matters.
Yeah. I wonder how this is going to look. Anywhere between like wrong and... Whoa. I wasn't expecting that at all. What a dumb face, too.
Yeah, right?
she's doing a dumb face.
Completely different.
But like, wow. Yeah, what a nerd, too.
Yeah, I know. Look at that fucking shirt. What a nihilistic fucking asshole.
Slacker by choice.
Yeah, just like a piece of shit.
Yeah, I feel like I went to college with that guy.
Yeah, we all did. It was awful.
Yeah.
He was awful.
So you start, like, once you have these thoughts of like, or, so like from, let's maybe help me understand it this way.
Okay.
When I left religion, I was like, oh, I don't believe in God. I was raised with like, you do.
And right.
Suddenly inside, it was like, I think I don't.
Did you have like an epiphany?
Yeah. And then I had to struggle with that epiphany for like over a year.
Okay.
I think maybe 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then realized like, oh, that's what it meant. I don't believe in God. So then I have to tell everybody, I know you think this of me, but it's just not in there.
Right.
It's something different inside. There's a void inside.
Right.
So like, is it like that where you start to have thoughts until you finally get to the point where like, hey guys, I'm this.
I can only speak from my personal experience because I know, like, I have a friend in LA where it was just like, oh, she's 5 years old and she's calling herself a she and stuff like that.
Whoa.
Because she had the words for it. I didn't, like, when I was a kid, trans did not exist. Like, my idea of just, like, you know, gender variance and stuff like that came from what? Fucking Ace Ventura? You know, with Lois Einhorn.
Oh, yeah. I wish she had the dick.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh, that's the villain. Like, oh, my God. It's a man. Like no one wants to be that.
Yeah.
So,
game.
Yeah. It was like, oh, shit. This is like what actual being trans is. It's like, I don't... You block that out, you know, or at least I did. and it's not something that I wanted to consider because that was the truth, right. And that was all I knew. So like I just took all those feelings and just completely ignored them, buried them for like 2 decades, like a really long time, before I even started acting out on it at all. Like I've been medically transitioning for 8 years now.
Okay.
But I've only been out for like 3.
Out to the public.
Yeah, out okay. to myself.
But that's
too.
What I'm more interested in. Wait, so you've been medically transitioning before you came out to yourself?
Yeah, like that's how I was so in the closet that I was buying hormones online from a sketchy online pharmacy for 5 years and doing like low doses of that shit, convincing myself, oh, I'm not replacing my hormones, I'm supplementing them, which is bullshit. Which is complete bullshit, but that was the lie that I told myself for so long. It's like, no, I'm not trans, of course not. But I still wanted like all the benefits and features that came with.
You were
like,
covering up with like other pills that you were like, it's just all part of this.
I was like, no, I just want softer skin. That's what this will do. That's it. You know, fuck my facial hair, whatever. I just want to get cleaned up. That's all it is.
What are the pills?
So there's a couple that you can take. There's estradiol, you know, straight up estrogen.
Yeah.
You can take that in pill form. You can take that as a patch, which I think is bullshit. I inject it into my leg once a week.
Oh, like an athlete.
Yeah, like an athlete. Nice. Yeah, like literally shooting up
yeah.
hormones right into my, you know, thigh.
Estrogen? What is
estrogen? Estradiol.
Estradiol.
So it's a form of it that can, you know, that's, I think, blood soluble. It'll go in, do whatever it needs to do.
And what does it do?
It's estrogen.
It just makes you...
It's estrogen.
But the result is like what?
It's feminizes your body. Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's like I'm literally jump-starting a second puberty.
Whoa. Does it make you grow? Like
it doesn't make me grow. It makes me shrink.
It does?
Yeah, I've shrunk at least 1.25 inches.
Does it change your hips or your tits or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I had breast... Like it leads to secondary sex characteristics, but it's like anything... It's like anyone else's puberty where it's just like it really is dependent on genetics too.
Right.
Because it's like, oh yeah, now I'm like looking like my mom and stuff like that. I'm getting big tits like her and stuff like that because I just had the DNA from it.
If your mom was flat, you wouldn't get
yeah,
the tits.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so interesting.
I still got breast augmentation though because I just needed something that, you know, tied the room together. I was tired of having like pubescent tits, so.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking 34-year-old woman. Like I need something.
It's a great equalizer. It really brings people together.
It really does. Yeah, it's the great equalizer.
After you got augmentation, did you start to like guys must have immediately started looking at your tits.
Guys were like immediately looking at me like as soon as I had like any kind of work done to myself just because I don't know how to read it because I'm tall. So yeah. That could be like, are they clocking me? Am I just really striking to them? I don't know. I'm like a human Rorschach test wherever I go because everyone perceives me a little differently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a friend who's 6'1", and like a certain type of guy is way into her.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's just like she gets stares because it's like striking, like yeah. You said, where it's not like even hot or not hot.
It's just like, wow, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
same
real.
Thing, like a woman, not usually in that size.
Yeah, so it's like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So I don't know what guys are doing when they look at me, but God, yeah, I get stared at all the time. I get catcalled all the time.
Yeah,
it's weird. Guys are doing like this thing where it's like we're walking on the sidewalk and they pass and they just like mumble something into my ear or something like that as we're passing. So it's just like I tear that ass up. I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? Like I will challenge guys like that too because I'm tall and I don't take shit from anyone.
Do you like it? How much do you like it? Because of course
that's a very valid question. I'd say like 40% in any given time I like it, but some days I'm just not. I don't want to hear like a 20-year-old say they're going to tear my ass up when they're shorter than me and I can literally bear hug them to death, and I'm like, what the fuck did you say, you coward, you bitch ass dickless faggot, like what are you fucking saying to me? And they don't say shit because they're weak and cowardly.
Yeah I mean catcalling in general is weird, like it's more Latino, right? Is it like mostly Latino or is that
Latino, Afro-Caribbean?
Yeah. I was doing research on other countries and some places were like, oh, Italy too. We're like, you just have to get, if you're a woman, you just got to get used to it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Oh, I've heard like
aggressive.
I heard like in Europe, they're like, their idea of hitting on someone is just like hounding them really? Constantly until it's not even like wooing. It's just like they relent.
Yeah.
And like that's, it's like, oh, okay, well, you've been hanging on me for 4 hours. Let's just bang this one out.
Sip of the hand jobs.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. So, okay, so some of you likes it and some of you hates it, like just any woman, really.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we were talking about the pills and stuff like that. Uh-huh. You wanted to know what my regimen is and stuff like that. Yeah. So, estradiol to get estrogen. Then there's spironolactone, which is an androgen blocker that blocks testosterone in your body. So, I'm no longer...
Because otherwise you would have both just shooting up at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, estrogen actually, I studied chemistry in college, actually, okay. Neuroscience and chemistry. I know for a fact that they're part, both of those are part of the same family of macromolecules where it's just like, oh, you just have to take estrogen. You have like this estrogen molecule. You cleave something off of it and it's testosterone. They're remarkably similar structures.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, if you have a buildup of estrogen, that can actually convert into testosterone. So, you need something to block it as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I take that, and I also take progesterone as a pill.
Before people were doing that, were people getting, like, ragey?
When
they were taking too much estrogen?
I don't know. I mean, before these pills, I don't even think was an option. So, you would just transition without any kind of, like, medical backing to it. You were just like, okay, I'm going to clean myself up, start wearing ladies' clothes. And, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what they did in, like, the 20s.
Yeah. Is it crazy when you mentioned, like, that
Jim I'm Carrey sorry, movie? 1920s. Yeah. Shit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're already there.
Yeah, fuck.
But, like, it really, trans just wasn't a thing.
No, it really wasn't.
They were just probably the same percentages as now, but, like, it just wasn't a thing in any sort of culture.
Nope, not at all. You didn't talk about it. Even like then, like gays were just like a tee hee hee kind of a joke as opposed to being like real people.
Yeah, even like Liberace. We're like, what did he die of? What disease was that?
Yeah, like it's like, what? Like, oh, what? He's just in show business. That's all that is.
He's just grand.
Yeah, he's just you know, yeah, you're right. He's grand, are. Like his pianos.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
No one knew Liberace was gay.
Everyone knew he was gay. They just didn't want to talk about it. It was like those like dirty little secrets. But like back then, no. I mean, there have been representations of like, you know, gender nonconforming, transness, whatever you want to. Since like the dawn of like moving pictures, you know, like there's always been gender variance in every society,
right?
But you know, to the degree of like which you embrace it or not is, you know, questionable.
I heard it wasn't Native American. It might have been Native American, but they had a third gender in their language.
Oh yeah,
Eskimo.
Or you know, like one of the Native peoples.
It
I
was,
know that
right?
Yeah, they were like looked at as like shamanistic or something like that, where it's like, oh, this person is clearly different than everyone else, but like there's something special to that. Like they didn't, you know, the looking down on, you know, gender variance, sexual variance, that's a byproduct of like Protestantism, the Catholic Church, all that kind of shit.
You think so? Where it's just like,
well, I'm pretty sure like some really, you know, conservative rabbis in Israel aren't really down with anything queer either, but like, you know what?
No,
I'm pretty sure that's the Protestant upbringing of this country.
Yeah. It really just makes everything not fun.
No,
really,
like,
across
the
board.
They're really
fun.
Not a joyful people.
Yeah, I want to fuck that black chick. You stick to your own.
Exactly.
Ugh, all right, but you want? Fine.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah,
it's in the Bible.
Today? Not for the whole month. You can't. Like, fuck. All right. It's in the Bible. Like where? Like I don't know. I never read it.
We'll write it in.
Yeah. So you get these. You get these. Dude, you must. Sorry.
It's cool.
It's really.
This is
going to
happen the entire goddamn
it's
interview.
It's not about your gender.
I'm well aware.
I said it to women, and I'm sorry because it's like
I'm well aware.
It has a different context.
Girl, it's totally all right. You're
totally
fine.
Yeah. Okay.
You're still my ace bitch. It's
okay.
Cool.
Great. I'll try. Yeah. Girls now. Sorry, women now. Doing this must have a way easier time than someone doing it 15 years ago or 10 years ago, even five.
Yeah, but it's such a relative scale where it's like, I don't know if you ever heard of Jazz Jennings and stuff like that, or any of like the, and there's some other pop star that I can't really think of, but like they are trans women who never went through the wrong puberty. Like they knew when they were kids and they were able to get the treatment that they wanted and they just lived their entire lives as women. And stuff like that. That is a radically different experience than what I had, where it's like I had a whole other life.
And then readjust.
And I had to readjust on, you know, I had to readjust in my 30s.
Did you?
Or 20s, really. But
this may be easier or less easy than a gay man, but did you fuck as that old dude, the other guy?
Oh, as the other guy, did I fuck?
Yeah,
I fucked all the time.
Yeah. But it's sort of the same way.
I've fucked all different kinds of ways. I'm still, that's actually something that I'm still trying to figure out, like what is right for me, whether or not bottom surgery is right for me, whether or not I want to get that procedure, because at this point I still don't know.
What's the theories on it in the community
as far as what goes
bottom surgery
theories?
I mean, like, what do people say? Like, we want to do this, we don't. Like, what are the thoughts that go into
it? It's your individual choice, and it doesn't make you any more or any less of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Your genitals don't define you. It's a personal, it's like, yeah, what makes, you're just doing it to feel whole. That's it.
You're doing the surgery to feel whole.
Yeah. Like, right. I'm not doing this to, if I got it, or if anyone else, like, well, you know, here's my friend. She got it. She didn't do it for you or to be seen as anything else. It was just like, oh, this is what I want.
Right. It seems like the inevitable end to all the pills and stuff.
Not necessarily. Okay. I mean, like, I know plenty of trans women who transition without doing anything to their genitals.
They just leave it. It's totally
they just
fine.
Leave it. They're perfectly fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, again, it's not a uniform thing across everyone's experience.
Yeah. I knew a trans man.
Yeah.
On his podcast, actually. And he was just like, ah, man, I guess I still have a pussy, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like,
think about it.
You know, God forbid you were climbing a chain link fence, you fell on top of it, ripped your dick off or something like that, and it was gone. You're still a man, dude.
Yeah.
You really are. I mean, mm-hmm. That doesn't define you. You'd probably feel less of one.
Yeah.
But you're still a man.
Right. Well, there is that. I probably would feel less of one. So then, like, if they're like, hey, we can stick another one on you. That's what I mean in theories. Like, do people talk like, are we all supposed to do this? Are we not? Is it all just...
I'm sure there's, you know, younger girls who are, like, just getting into it, who are just like, is it wrong that I feel this way? No, not right. at all. Not at all. I'm not a gatekeeper, and there's no one right way to do this.
Yeah.
At all. Like I said, people transition without even being on hormones.
How do they do that?
They just socially transition.
Because that's their
that's all that it is. And a lot of the time that's because they don't have access to the medical treatment.
Yeah.
Like I went online and bought shit, like, really sketchy. I also live in New York, where I have access to, like, this is a really, it's probably one of the best places you can to transition if you have the money, because there's so many, like, social programs that are like built around, you know, just helping the trans and serving the trans community. I mean, yeah. I think what, because of the Affordable Care Act, I you know, someone looked this up, but I think in New York City, every health insurance plan has to cover, if you're a trans patient, has to cover bottom surgery and some other things too, because that's just part of the Affordable Care Act and what we enacted in New York and New York City.
Right. Also, in this city, it must be definitely more than where you're from, like, a casualness to it, walking down the street.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, whatever.
No, I've walked down the street and I've clocked women too. It's just like, I see you. I know you.
Oh, really?
I actually have a really funny story about that. I was like, I was on the subway in 2018, just like riding home, and I was wearing, you know, my, we'll call it my uniform, just like my normal clothes. It's very kind of like punkish, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And I look up and I saw a trans woman just kind of standing there. She's, you know, going home too, but she was wearing the exact same thing: black leather boots, black jeans, fingerless gloves. The only thing that was like noticeably different about her was that she was blonde. So, like, by all accounts, she was the Ken to my Ryu. You know what I'm talking about? It was just like, oh, it's just, we're the exact same, except you're just blonde. That was it. And we caught eyes, looked at each other, and burst out laughing.
Two punker trans women.
Yeah, we just, like, started laughing our asses off. We didn't exchange numbers. We didn't do anything. We were just like, motherfucker, awesome.
That's funny. That's funny also because it's, like, so specific and unique. And yeah. Then you're like, damn.
Nope, not at all. She was just as tall as me. She was like a punk ass. It was cool.
I love seeing those goth kids and, like, we're different. We don't wear uniforms. I'm like, but you're wearing your own uniforms. You guys are all exactly
you all are
the same.
Wearing.
Shut
yeah.
up.
They covered that in the movie SLC Punk. It's like, yeah, you are wearing a fucking uniform.
Yeah, that's why that guy who had the polo shirts on was like, it was beat up.
Oh, yeah. Jason Segal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was like, yeah, he's crazy, man, but he doesn't wear the uniform.
No, he doesn't. He's just, I'm going to do something, man.
I got to see that movie.
I fucking love that movie. That was great.
And it spit so much. That's all I remember, too.
Oh, Poe's just died, man. He's like crying and sobbing. I love that movie.
It was pretty good. I should see it again. There's all these movies I saw when I was younger that I was like, probably didn't understand.
Yeah.
Until I was in the world. Do you get boners?
Occasionally. I mean, I'm not going to lie that the estrogen does affect that a lot. Or the hormones that I'm on affects that a lot.
Yeah.
Decreased Sex Drive, of course.
Decreased Sex Drive.
Mm-hmm. But when I did the Naked Roast Battle, I know everyone was talking about that because my dick was so big. And everyone was like impressed with that. Yeah, it was flopping. I had erectile dysfunction pills and I took two of them shits.
To get it bigger?
To get it bigger. And I did that just to fuck with everybody.
Yeah. That's such a great idea. It was such a surprise. The tuck was so good.
Oh, I just like fucking, it was like they said my name, dress came off, let's do the tuck, step out, and that was it.
When you were younger, did you work, once you realized you might be a woman?
When I realized that, I was 31.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
But even, okay. So did you not tuck when you were little?
I fucked around and stuff like that, just to, you know, do Buffalo Bill shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like...
But there was no extra meaning behind it?
No, it was just like...
Interesting.
But, you know, I mean, there is meaning in it if you want to really look into it.
But I mean, I tuck too. I mean, I'm pretty sure most dudes tucked.
Okay.
Because it's like, oh, I can make my penis look like a vagina.
Right.
So it's like, interesting.
No, I mean, I'm sure you explored your body like that too, just as much as I did. Yeah. But like, I guess it, you know, rang a little truer to me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Were you shaved?
Was I shaved?
Yeah.
Yeah, I shaved.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. It was just like some quick moment. I was real close too. And I was like, okay, woman coming out. Or I forget who you battled.
I battled this dude named Dan Abraham. I think he had a micro penis.
Yeah, it was the tiny one that like pointed.
Yeah,
like,
and I didn't know that. I felt shortchanged. They didn't tell me that about my opponent beforehand. So yeah. I would have had so many like little dick jokes. But
that's the thing with those naked roasts. It's like you prepare for their personality.
Yeah.
And then the judges are only going off looks. So we get to like just make fun of whatever we see. And you guys can't prepare.
I couldn't prepare. And like I wish I could have been like more fluid and in the moment. But like your adrenaline is going so fast. It was an out of body experience.
And you like, prepared, and it's like it's not stuff you've worked on for like 6 months.
It was like a week.
Never done them on stage unless you tried it once. But even then, it's still like it's a packed place.
It was like a sea of people. It was like being on a raft on a sea of people. It was like what, 500 people in that ballroom?
It had to be. And it was mobbed, all standing. There was a few people sitting, but then all standing in the back.
It was all standing in the back, you know, wall to wall.
Comics like lounge, like on the wall.
Everyone was fucking watching.
Like Scooby-Doo.
I'm pretty sure Michael Che saw my dick, which I don't think a lot of people can claim.
Yeah.
Which is...
I can't. He's not seen my dick. And a lot of male comedians have seen my dick.
Yeah.
But then when it popped out, it was just like, this was like, whoa, I was surprised, but I was like, good tuck game. You know, there were days when I was like seven where I was like, I got it look like a vagina.
I don't fuck around with my tuck. Yeah. I don't fuck around.
Yeah.
But like, I remember that too, because the reaction was just like, it started with just like the pocket of people in front of me and it spread like a gasoline fire. It was just like, boom, where everyone was realizing what they were looking at.
Yeah. It's such a good surprise too. But you said that was a bad experience overall?
It was good and bad. Like, I stepped away from comedy because of that. Or not because of that, but that was like the cherry on top where it was like, I need to walk away from this for a little bit, for at least the indefinite future, to like get my house in order.
Yeah. I want to talk to this about you. This is like separate and also like with this stuff too.
Sure.
So like the idea that like you saw Nanette, you ever see that? Hannah Gadsby special?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't care to.
The theory on it was, whatever.
Isn't it just like LGBT spoken word shit? Isn't it less of, it's more of that than like comedy?
It's an Edinburgh hour. It's like a theme hour.
Okay.
So those Edinburgh hours get like emotional on purpose.
Yeah, lot. But it's, so it's not like really stand-up. It's like queer storytelling.
It's, I'm trying to explain how to like...
Was it funny?
There were parts that were funny and parts that were definitely trying to not be funny.
Okay.
So it wasn't like jokes that fell flat. When people had their problem with it, it was like...
It just sounds like storytelling, quite honestly.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's Edinburgh. And there's always... So now they do jokes about it in Edinburgh where like, I have a stool here for when my dad dies later, about 30 minutes from now, I'm going to have a spotlight on this and like make fun of it, you know, because like everybody does that. It's like, and that's when I realized. And it's like... So all these Americans go over there and be like, no, guys, we're just going to come here and be funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck is this?
I guess they want drama over there.
They're theater-based. That's what it is. They started a theater where we had started comedy, like, on its own.
Yeah.
So we're its own art form. But, so her theory in it was, anyway, that she can't, she has to tell her story.
Mm-hmm.
Her story is being a gay woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't tell her full story because it gets, like, too serious. And so she's been pushed to like societally or by in the stand-up society, pushed down and don't tell that whole story. And she goes, I pretty much have to quit comedy because I can't be honest, and I don't want to not be honest anymore, so mm-hmm. I'm done. Turned out she's not done. But my thing was like, well, John Mulaney, let's just say, for example, doesn't really tell his story. He does observational jokes on a thing.
Right. But so that's like, just that's just getting down to like different, you know, forms of stand up and different styles.
Right, basically. Right. There's
like,
other styles.
Like I told you, I never did like observational Seinfeld shit.
What was your style?
It was autobiographical. Okay. Because most of my, like I said, the most absurd thing in my life is my life. You know, just like existing is just so weird to me. Just like the shit that I see online, people are hollering at me. Walking down the street is an adventure every single day. It's like nothing that's going on in the news is ever going to trump, that experience.
Yeah. To you.
To me.
Right. So you stopped because what? Because you're like...
It just became detrimental to my mental health. Where like
stand up for sure does that too.
Absolutely,
you know, yeah.
Let's be perfectly. You on it.
It's horrible for people.
Let's be really clear though. Like no one got into stand up with like a clear mind.
Right.
You know, like everyone was broken going into that shit.
Yeah.
But
right. People are gonna stare at you and not laugh, and you're gonna be a failure for 5 years.
Like, oh, sure, I'll do it. Fine. Fuck it. I gotta get off on this. No, I know that. I know that mentality, but. Something changed on at Skankfest where it's like, yeah, I'm really proud of what I did because like I fucking murdered. And you know, that's the kind of the culmination of just like a lifetime of wanting to be a comedian and stuff like that. But at the same time, I reached this point in my transition where it's like, oh, people are just seeing me as the woman that I am. No one's seeing me as like a tranny,
right,
or anything, which is a slur. Never repeat that word. Okay. That's our word.
Transy.
You can say you're trans. It's trans person, trans.
It's always woman. When you shorten stuff that people get mad.
Yeah. Just keep in mind, like when one of us is getting beaten to death, that's usually what's getting screamed in our face.
Oh right.
So that's kind of why it's a slur.
Aboriginal in Australia, Abbo is the slur.
Abbo, yeah, I heard that one.
Just
yeah.
Like Titan and it's
fucking Abbos. Yeah. But no, I walked away from stand up because it was just like I don't want it. You know, because, yeah, I'm trans, but I don't want that to be the joke.
Okay, so let me ask this question, because I've always had this thought about when I go see Arab comedy shows, gay comedy shows. I've never seen an all-trans show, but I have seen trans comics, and
sure.
It is a lot of their act.
Yeah, because it's so much of, like, unfortunately, I'm saying unfortunately, it a lot of what I'm going through currently.
Yeah.
I can theoretically see a point in the future where I'm just so comfortable in my body that I really could do just like Seinfeld-y shit, but what I am going through is still such an active thing,
right?
And I don't want to make fun of it.
So are there other things? So like when I see those Arab shows, I find they all start to, like, when they all come together, because I used to be going alone, the only Arab on a show, Middle Eastern or whatever you want to say, and then they all come together, and it's like Latinos have this problem too, where it's like, fuck, we all have the same story because
yeah.
It's our culture. And I'm saying, isn't that unique? And then it's not,
because
seven
not.
Comics in a row just said the same thing. It's like, fuck,
yeah,
how do I do this? But then some of them are just like, oh, I just talk about, like, I yelled at me in traffic.
Yeah.
And that's my story today.
You know, I remember I did the podcast, Life in America or whatever it is. It's the Comedy Sellers podcast, where I was talking to like their owner or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And he was saying some shit like, well, I don't want to have, like, you know, trans humor. Like, are all your jokes trans jokes? And it's like, well, you know, if I did a joke about dating, it's still going to be through that lens of being trans. It's not necessarily like a trans joke. It's a dating joke.
Mm-hmm.
I just happen to be trans and have a very unique experience through it. So I don't know what that, you know, what that demarcation line is. Like, but I don't know where you want.
Yeah, because it's like a lot of comics will... I do to sexual jokes on stage.
Sure.
You know, a lot of comics, and then a lot of comics won't. And so then it's like, if you found out Jim Gaffigan was trans, like, none of your material is affected by that.
No, not at all.
Food and everything else he talks about, you know, or like all the stuff he talks about. But it's like, it's almost never sexual that I've seen.
No, I mean, that's when you've like cultivated a stage voice and a personality and you can just fit it, where it's, that is something I'm very actively figuring out, like a literal voice, like a stage voice, and just like my regular walking around voice. Like, I'm still figuring so much shit out.
Yeah. And it's such a massive thing.
It's so weird because it is and it isn't.
Right.
It's both at the exact same time.
What do you mean?
You know, being trans is like simultaneously this huge fucking big deal where it's like your whole life is upended, and you know, you might lose a lot of friends. You're gonna go through God knows what, But it's also at the same time, who fucking cares?
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter.
You still got to check your emails.
I still got to check my emails. I still vote. I still like got to pay the bills. I still got to do all that
shit.
You got
to pay your, for your, make an OnlyFans account.
Like, exactly.
Doing that is not doing that as a trans or not trans.
No.
You're just doing
it. I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
So it's
do you
not
see
like,
yourself coming back to comedy in a way that where it's like, my friend Justin Martindale, he, I remember him at Cap City once, we were all performing.
Mm-hmm.
He's super gay. But like, he was talking about, I honestly think something is like, I think he was talking about Britney Spears.
Okay.
How great she is.
Sure.
And then like, then he did another bit, and then another bit, and the third bit he mentioned, like, and my boyfriend, he goes, oh, I'm gay, I didn't have to tell you guys, right? And everyone just laughed, because like, yuck.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You didn't say you were gay, but like, everything about you is gay. So like, obviously. I wonder if there's a way to, because I know it's a massive thing to be trans and so specific and unique, but I wonder if there's a way to do it without
mentioning it. But then you're just like,
harping on it. Not without mentioning it, but without, like, it's almost like, I fucking hate going on a date and not, the uncomfortableness on a date,
right,
would be the same for you as it would be for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Of like, how do you get to like a comfort level with a stranger?
Exactly.
That kind of shit.
I mean, ideally I would like to get to that point, but like, it's just not where my head is at.
Yeah. That's fair.
I don't know what else to say.
So after that, you like realized like you were,
I mean, it was like a slow point, like for at least a year or two, I was doing comedy, but still like not really hitting mics or shows that hard. I was like, cause I was just so focused on the shit that I'm going through. Like I told you, I've had three different surgeries. Yeah. One, two, three, four. I've had four already. And you know, it's just that's where my mind is at, is just like focusing on what my next goal is or what I'm trying to accomplish or what I need to do or anything like that. So no matter what your, how busy your life is with your kids or anything like that, I still have to do that, all that too, plus all this additional shit. And right, it's just so much to figure out on the spot.
Right. Yeah. I think sometimes comics go to, well, COVID is a good example of that, where everyone's like now going on stage and like talking about it. It's like, you guys haven't worked this out. You're all doing the same exact material.
Yeah.
Because we all went through the same exact thing.
When I saw everyone was like doing Zoom shows for like the first time or like performing in the park, I'm like, this fucking blows. First off, it's like, you know, I like the club aspect of that. I like, you know, being indoors of, you know, so everything is painted with that brush. But at the same time, it's just like, yeah, you're all just, we get it. We're all literally going through the exact same fucking thing.
And it's either talk about it and usually kind of hacky way. Some people had specific, like unique takes, but it's still based on this thing.
Yeah.
Or like ignore it, which the crowd would like you to do, I think. Like, we all think about this all the time. Let's talk about something else.
I mean, it's the elephant in the room where it's like, I think it's one of those things, it's like you address it in one or two lines and then move on.
Yeah. Do you see any possible future of you doing that with the trans stuff?
I hope so, because while I was still actively performing, like my intro was just like, now, quick disclaimer before I get going.
Oh, you would do that.
I would do this. Oh, God, no. My intro, it's like, before I get going, quick disclaimer. Now, for a woman, I'm going to be talking a lot about my dick, I hope. And that's, you know, big laugh right there. And that's just kind of like to break it, because, again, I'm like a human Rorschach test. I have no idea what anyone, any particular person on any given moment is perceiving when they look at me.
Right.
Am I getting clocked? Are they just, or do they just think I'm hot? I have no clue.
Right. Clocked, you mean, what does he mean by clocked?
Clocked, like being, like, you've heard of like clocked in like a speeding sense. It's like, oh, I clocked you going 65 in a 50.
Yeah.
And I clocked you as a trans woman.
Oh, okay. I think you meant like, I'm going to beat you up. And we'll get
to that. Clocked, like, smacked in the face.
Like, I'm gonna follow her.
Clock. You know, that's happened a few times. That happened to me last week.
Somebody follows you to beat you up?
Not to beat me up, to fuck me.
Oh.
She's like, I don't know what it is about like dudes in New York City, but now they're saying God bless you a lot. They're just like, hey, God bless you. Hey, God bless you. Miss, God bless you. God, what's your name?
God bless you.
Like, I'm like, right, yo, I don't want to fuck with you right now. I don't want to make a friend on the street. Go fuck yourself.
I got hit on in Myanmar. This dude was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, I wasn't giving you that vibe at all, for sure. I wasn't. I was just in the wrong part of town, clearly.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, well, maybe we'll hang out as friends. I'll show you around. I'm like, nah.
No, you're
friends either. And I don't know where you're
Yeah, where you're going to be friends, and then you're going to give me Coke as a friend, and then you're going to give me a blowjob as a friend. And it's like, no, we're not going to do this.
Yeah. That's hilarious that you were on two fucking Viagras or whatever that night. Yeah, I would like to see a way. How are other comics? How do they treat you?
Everyone's fine.
everyone's cool?
Yeah, everyone's like, no, everyone sees me. We see you as a woman and stuff like that. And I don't believe them because they knew the other guy for so long.
You did stand up as the other guy?
Hell yeah. I transitioned on stage.
What do you mean?
Like, I was doing mics and shows like that prior.
Yeah.
And then Facebook announcement. And everyone's like, just let us know when you want to go by Margo. And it was just like a slow...
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, relatively slow. No, not really.
Really?
I'd be worried. It was more nervous, not worried, like excited, nervous energy because, I don't know, I think like I'm a really good judge of character. And so I knew like when I came out, no one would give a shit. And that is a very unusual situation because I know so many people who've like been disowned. I have a friend who came out in her late 30s, early 40s. Her parents got a divorce over it. Like, there's,
what?
Yeah.
Why would they get a divorce?
Because, you know, her father was not accepting.
And the mom was like, you have to be. And then got in the way. Damn. That must suck.
Fucking came out, like, I emailed my mother that morning. Like, hey, I want to have a phone conversation with you. There's something big I need to talk to you about. Can we just set a time later this evening to talk on the phone? I called her up. I was like, Mom, I'm trans. And her immediate... like gut response was, yeah, that doesn't shock me. So I was like, oh, okay, great. And she's like, you want to tell your father? Like, rip it off like a Band-Aid? It's like, yeah, fuck, put dad on the phone, whatever.
How did he take it?
He was like, okay, I'm not entirely sure what that means, but I love you and support you.
That's nice.
Yeah.
There's that too. It's like, okay, I'm not, okay.
Like I said, like it's simultaneously like a huge deal and not a big deal at all.
Also, as a comic, we all love attention.
Oh, yeah.
So then it's like, we're in a world where like, come on, talk about me. It's going to be great.
But now I can't turn off the attention. It's just like, it's nonstop. It's constant for me.
Yeah. Ugh. Have you ever been to Thailand?
Thailand? No, I've never been to Thailand. Do you want to talk about them?
Ladyboys.
Yeah. I hate that phrase.
They love it.
I know. They love it. I hate it.
Why?
Because it's like, implies that you're... both, or like, again, I only see myself as a woman.
It's so strange because here you talk about people like, that's super offensive. Like, I'm getting it from them,
right?
Saying this is what we want to be called, and it's like, okay, that's not a separate thing, right? That's just trans.
I'm pretty sure it's just trans, yeah. But it's just like this aspect of it, just the fetishization.
Tough one.
Yeah. Of you know, just like, ooh, a lady boy, you know, this he she, and it's like, oh, that's just so cringy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what is it?
Yeah, what is it?
You won't know.
What is this rare jewel that I found?
Yeah.
Wow, a chick with a dick. Yeah. And one that I can pick up and throw against the wall. Like, how wondrous.
Yeah.
So fucking cringy.
Yeah, it is strange. The dicks are shrunken for sure from the pills.
From hormones, yeah. Mine's definitely atrophied at this point. Like, I've been...
Did you measure before you started taking pills?
I mean, I remember when I was like a kid in high school, of course I would measure it, and it was like, what, 7.5, like 7.75, something like that. Maybe I'm exaggerating because of my own ego. I don't know. But you've seen my dick last year. You thought it was pretty...
It was pretty big.
It was pretty big.
And like girthy.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much the length.
Like, I'm not really proud of that. I don't give a shit. It is what it is. Yeah. Fuck it. I have nothing to prove anymore.
I mean, performance enhancing drugs, though. So.
Yeah, performance. I was trying. Like, she didn't look... She wasn't like a...
That's 90, not you on a Tuesday.
She wasn't like a 90-degree raging boner, but she looked nice. She looked good.
I took my dick out on HBO. Norton had a...
Oh, God.
A stand-up show, and I was like, I'm going to expose myself at the end, because it's HBO, so you can. And I was like, I got to take, like... a quarter of Viagra just so it'd be presentable.
Quarter.
Yeah, I didn't end up taking it, and I wish I would have. It was just so... it's so small when you're nervous. It gets so small.
I remember being backstage with like all the other comics, and all the male comics was like, I need a fluffer. I need this right now. I'm like, yo, dude, you should have came prepared.
Because also the fluffer, it's going to go right down as soon as you're done fluffing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like it's going to last for fucking 20 minutes while you're making jokes.
And I can't imagine like some guy like beating off in the kitchen behind the stage going like, okay, I'm on in like 5 minutes. I got to like... gotta get this up real quick.
Close. Not too close. I don't want to come before.
Don't look at me in the eyes. Don't fucking look at me while I'm doing this. God damn it.
What a fun show, that naked roast battle.
It really was. And like I said, I'm proud of it, but also disgusted with myself. It's both for me.
Yeah. Talk a little more. The disgust was that you don't want to be known as that.
I didn't want my transness to be a punchline. I wanted to be like, oh, she has a dick. Waka waka. I can't deal with that anymore.
There's no way with the percentages in comedy that are trans. There's no way during any roast that you won't be the trans person.
Right. That's how it is.
Asian on a roast, they're gonna throw a bunch of Asian jokes at you. It's just the way it
is. That's just the nature of roast battles, which are fucking stupid as hell. They're awful. They're it's not real stand up comedy. And no,
it's just like a percentage of all the 8 games that go into it.
Yeah, it's fake. I mean, if stand up is like a pure expression where, you know, the fourth wall is the back of the room, roast battles are like this degenerate, like fucking autistic cousin or something of that.
Did you do a lot of them or just the next?
I did several of them.
I did one and I was so fucking nervous.
It's nerve wracking because, I mean, I think a lot of it is just because you're trying new material for the first time in a very specific context.
And you got the wording out exactly right.
Yeah.
You stumble, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Then the joke's just done. Ugh.
It's so hard.
I like judging them, but sometimes you see somebody like, you're so, it's like, you're so fat. I don't know. Elephant calls your mom. It'd be like, you're fat. Fuck. Let me do it again.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You already lost.
That's it. No. Yeah. It's all about the dismount and you didn't land it.
Yeah. Ashley Barnhill did really good because she used to talk way slow on purpose.
Yeah.
But it really helped like the setup sink in before the pay. And then she could also write herself and like,
it's, you know, so like getting roast battles and like just getting the right cadence, you know, because it's so much different than like your regular act, because you can go on autopilot to a certain degree and just be like, whatever, I'm just regurgitating this. But if like, you want it to be like in the moment and you wanted your jokes to land and your insults to land, you have to be so in the moment.
There's no crowd work too.
Nope.
There's no, and you see people like doing like I call them charisma comics.
Yeah,
where they go up there and like do some dancing or do whatever. Like, but like, none of that shit works here.
Nope,
none of it. You know, your accent doesn't work at all here. You're nothing. Just what did you write? Say it out loud. Oh,
it better be mean. It better be clever. It better be funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck roast battles. I'm done with that. I mean, like, I'm sure if I went back on stage and I'm just doing my act, of course I have more control over, you know, addressing the fact that I'm trans and stuff like that versus a roast battle. That's like one of the, doing a naked roast battle is probably one of the most stupid, stressful, insanely scary things anyone can ever do.
Like, look good too. Some of those dudes were like fat in a way that was like disgust, like the belly button butt.
Yeah. Know? But that's like so much with like comedy. I always felt like stand up is like fishing, but you're using your own flesh as bait. And nothing exemplified that more than like a roast battle, where it's just like, okay, I'm laying it all bare.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can say whatever you want, and it's all for the sake of this ha ha. And that's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy. The cool thing I've noticed, so the roast battles who've kind of stopped and like gone full stand up.
Yeah.
Is like that technique of like saying something about a person, you know, their past, and like hitting it with punchlines.
Yeah.
Is like, you can apply that to this new movie.
Oh yeah, or, absolutely.
You know, something that happened to you in traffic.
I mean,
whatever.
It's the same thing as like improv. It's like, I'm not going to be an improv person, but those are like translatable skills.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you just got to learn to like leave it behind.
Yeah. All the yes and shit. Just get your own fucking voice.
Yeah. When you date, when you bone, like who boys, girls, like
I'm all over the place. I mean, I've had sex with like a cis woman in July, a cis man in August.
Cis is, for people who don't know, cis is just
regular.
Yeah,
which is not true. It's just like, are you trans? The answer is no. Then you're cis.
Hetero.
No.
No, that's not it.
No, that's sexuality.
So help me out.
Sexuality is who you're attracted to. Who do you want to fuck?
Is.
And that's hetero versus homo.
Oh. So what's cis and what's the opposite of cis?
Trans.
Trans. Oh, okay. Cis is the opposite of trans.
You're cis.
Okay.
Yeah.
And even if I was like, I'm going gay now, I'm still cis.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a cis homosexual.
What does cis stand for?
It's a prefix. It's a Greek prefix.
Okay.
Which means same side as.
As. Okay.
Like I told you, I studied chemistry. I can show you the roots of it in organic chemistry if we had a chalkboard and some time. But like, that's a little too nerdy for this.
Yeah, probably. It's fine. It's also just the words they've chosen.
So yeah.
It's like, whatever.
No, who do I bone?
Yeah.
No, I've had like just this past summer, I've had sex with like a cis woman, a cis man, and like a trans woman. I think two, actually.
Two trans women.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did hand stuff with one of them, so that's a little different.
When you do it, do you get blown?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you fuck with a dick?
I will only do that in very specific situations. I don't like topping.
Okay.
I don't like topping cis women. I don't like topping cis men, but like there's something.
I'm frozen yogurt right now.
Yeah, oh, it's like, so gross. Yeah. I don't want to fuck like a dude in the ass. Are you kidding me? That's disgusting. But yeah. Like, I don't particularly like using my junk that way.
Yeah.
But like when I'm with another trans girl, it's like, I don't know. Rules are off. I just feel differently. I think it's just because I need more of an emotional connection if I'm really going to get into something like that. And
that's why we know you're a woman.
Yeah.
Because dudes don't give a fuck.
No, they don't.
Like emotional. I
have to actually like give a shit about someone. It's like, oh yeah, I'll do this
that
for you.
Is a very, I'm sure not all women, but like that's a very feminine quality.
Yeah. No, like I know tons of trans women who are just like sex addicts and just like get banged out all the time. That's just not my style.
Yeah.
I wish it were. I think that would just make things so much more fun, but I'm not like that at all.
Have you ever fucked another trans woman who still has her dick?
Mm-hmm. I fucked the same trans woman pre and post op.
That's not my question.
Okay.
Do you ever do like a sword fight? Do you ever have fun with them?
Yeah, with my ex, we played this game called What the Hell Is That?
How does that go?
You know, it's like, you know, we're walking around the apartment naked, just like, you know, getting drinks and just hanging out. And you hug each other. I'm just, what the hell is this? What is this? I miss that game. God damn it.
You just point to her junk?
Yeah. No, I'm just holding it too.
What?
What is this?
I like when you're completely relaxed about something and you just make fun of it. Oh, those are the best laughs. What are those? Those are my paws.
Yep. But that was just like a little inside game I played with her.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. Exes. Aren't they fun?
Yeah. How are the breakups in the trans community?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure they're like anyone else's. I mean, my breakup, like I was never even official with this chick. It was just like, it was just interesting because this is the first person I've ever felt a raging jealousy towards. And that's very new to me. I'm usually much more self-assured, but like, wow, I was just jealous of her on every metric. She was younger than me, more financially stable than me, prettier than me. I was just horribly, and she was one of those people that can just like fuck and it's fine.
So you're like, she's gonna be cheating on me.
It's not even cheating, because I knew she was fucking guys when we were together. Like, that was not a shock to me. I was more jealous. It's like, I wish I could join you with that. But I have too many personal hang-ups when it comes to copulation.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
I'm super picky when it comes to men, honestly. I won't... Like, if you're shorter than me, fuck out of here. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, call me selfish. I'm fucking 6'2". I don't like it when sex feels like I'm getting humped by a Jack Russell Terrier. All right? Call me selfish. Call me greedy.
A lot of super short dudes are really into you, too.
So many.
It's like their fetish.
You have any idea how many guys, like shorter guys, want to hook up with me because they want to get fucked in the ass?
Really?
A disproportionate amount. Like, stupid, crazy amount.
They want to get fucked in the ass.
They want to get...
a woman. But why not a shorter woman? Why not a shorter trans woman?
Well, I don't know. I guess, like, I'm a jungle gym.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just, like, fun like that. But, like, so many guys want to get... like fucked in the ass. I get here, it's like, oh yeah, I want to gag on your cock, I want you to shoot your fucking wad down my throat. And I'm like, yo, she has not shot any wads since like Obama's first term. All right. Yeah. Like, that has not happened in so
like
long.
Going for the wrong person then.
I know.
Go for a gay dude who would do that to you.
Ew, fuck that. No, they're not into me, because they're into men.
Yeah, it's like, you're in the wrong place here. Babe, just go. I'll take you to a gay bar. Those are the guys who are gonna fuck you in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, the guys who want me to fuck them in the ass, like, they need to do what I do and just like go chase after a guy, you know?
Yeah, I worked for a pre-op. I don't think he had any surgeries. Trans in like the mid-90s.
A pre-op trans man.
Trans. He was a woman on the inside.
Pre-op so trans. Did he was this individual?
Sky was his name. What?
Were they presenting as female at all?
Presenting as male. It might have just been because it was a law firm.
Okay.
But like, he was like, I only date heterosexual men because they know I'm a woman.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When was this?
I mean, mid-90s.
Oh, shit.
Where it was, like, pretty brave to even kind of say that shit back then.
Right.
I was like, what does any of this
mean? What does that even mean?
I mean, I've never even heard of this before.
Right.
Yeah, but I was like, they don't care. He's like, no, man. They just know I'm a girl. And that's all it is.
Hey, that's it.
Yeah. But you fuck everywhere, so it's like...
I'm trying to figure myself out through, like, process of elimination.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is.
But are you, like, eliminating anything?
Not yet. I've eliminated shorter guys. That's about it.
That's another way I could tell you're a woman, because that's the fucking bitches on Tinder. They're always,
oh,
like,
fuck you.
Six feet or over.
Come at me when you can, like, throw me around, all right?
I mean, that's fair. I'm 6'3", so I don't have that problem. But I see it, like, 6 feet or above or get lost. I'm like, I mean, I'll still say yes, but that's mean to the guys who are shorter than me.
Well, yeah, it's tough to be a tall woman. It's tough to be a short guy. I mean, that's...
Yeah. What is this new thing I'm hearing about?
Mm-hmm.
Where feminism has this weird place for trans women.
Yeah. Where
it's like, because feminism operates in this, like, very liberal sphere, which right. is like inclusion. Mm-hmm. But then feminism also takes up this place of, like, me and my experience as a woman.
Right.
And then it's like, you challenge that in some way. I don't know. Like, what are they going through? What's the deal?
I mean, most contemporary feminists, to my understanding, are, like, trans women are women. They are part of... they are part of this movement just as much as we are. But there's a subsection called TERFs, T-E-R-F, Trans Exclusive Radical Feminists. They made an unholy deal with the devil, because now they're, like, they're actually aligning with conservative
trans exclusive
radical feminists. So they see themselves as feminists, but they see that as only, like, if you were born assigned female at birth, does that apply to you? Because they don't see me as a woman. They see me as a man who's like invading,
but you're both gonna have the same, like, some of the issues facing women are gonna be the same, right?
Of course.
If they say, like, women don't get respect in the workplace, and that's mm-hmm. what makes them earn less, and who knows if that's true or not, but if, like, we don't get respect, like, we don't get called on, like, that same shit's gonna apply to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna
scare
be
of rape is gonna be the same thing.
Absolutely.
You have a better chance of fighting them off.
I have by virtue of the fact that I'm 6'2", no one fucks with me. Yeah. So, like, that's literally not a problem that I have. But, like, that's not, again, that's my specific.
Just because she's not going to get raped.
That's my specific deal. That's not, like, a generality. But they see trans women as just men invading women only spaces. And they just think trans men, you know, assigned female at birth, but they're men. They just see them as, like, like, lost lesbians. So they're a bunch of fucking assholes. TERFs are.
Trans men as lost lesbians.
Yeah, TERFs see trans men as just, like, lost, wayward lesbians.
Who just don't get it?
Who just don't get it, and they deserve all this. Yeah, and it's like, they would tell them to shut the fuck up.
It's so weird we're in this world now where it's like, it's this attitude. It's like, you don't know how it feels. And then they're like, but you don't know how it feels about this. Like, yeah, and you don't know how it feels to have to go through this. And my parents were divorced, and my dad was in the army. You don't know how it feels. I had to do this. And everyone's like, wants their specific case.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, you've never had a period. So you'll never know what it's like. And they're like, all right, but who gives a fuck?
Yeah, if I had bottom surgery, that's like one giant period. So fuck off.
Oh, right. Yeah. You've never had to put gauze up your pussy for 2 months.
Oh, my God. It's not that dramatic. Maybe like a couple of weeks, and then it's like healing and shit.
How much are those?
I don't know.
It's paid for.
Depending on your insurance plan. But it's like, you know, definitely a couple $1,000s.
It's hard.
Like,
to pay
you know, five digits.
Yeah.
Figures.
Really?
Yeah, like 10, 20, wow. 30, 40, something
no, that's
like
not
that.
Easy.
No, not at all.
I don't know many people who have that money saved up.
No. I mean, I've had, like I said, 4 different surgeries. 2 of them were out of pocket, and I had to, like, I pulled $25,000 that I did not have out of my ass in 5 months.
Damn. So these women, these feminists who, like, what percentage of feminism would you guess that it is?
I would
trans exclusive.
I couldn't put a
Hogwarts lady, right?
Trans exclusive radical feminists, TERFs.
Yeah.
They're horrid cunts. I encourage everyone to punch one in the face. No, they are. They're really bad people. I'm not doing anything in a bathroom other than taking a whiz or a shit. That's
it. What are they upset about? What are
they think
about?
That we're going to, like, rape them and stuff like that. They
that really is a conservative thought. Like, I can't have trans in my bathrooms because they're going to be in there just to, like,
just being
that's not a conservative. I'm like, dude, no one's going into your bathroom to look, like,
no, I'm literally going to the bathroom because I'm at this Chili's and I'm having a problem. Like, yeah. That's it.
By the way, if a guy, if like a cis hetero male would just go into a woman's bathroom to rape somebody, they can just do that.
Yeah.
like the sign on the door is not stopping them.
I mean, it's such a roundabout way to go and rape someone. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get my breast implants, I'm gonna go on hormones, and I'm gonna get my dick to not work just to rape you
just
in
so
a bathroom.
I can hide in there. I could be there until like it's just me and you now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha, Carol. No. It's they're dumb.
Yeah, but how many of them do you think it is? Of like feminists,
I would not put it at like I'd be uncomfortable putting a percentage on it. I think they're in the minority. I do think they exist more in Great Britain for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, like you know J.K. Rowling.
Uh-huh.
She's like turfy as fuck.
I get the idea of like then we need another word to describe. I don't know a different, a more specific thing like this trans man, trans woman. So you guys are separated,
right? Under the trans umbrella.
The trans umbrella. So there should be like, I don't know how to make everyone feel included, but like females and then like different types. I don't know. Also like really, who cares?
Honestly, who cares? Yeah. It's just like, do you like this person? Judge them on like, you know, based on who they are, not what they are.
Yeah.
You know, easier said than done because, you know, quick associations.
We all do that.
Yeah.
It does guilty. Suck too when you find yourself doing it and you're like, darn.
Yeah, but I'm not here like out to trick anyone. I'm not doing that shit. I'm like literally just trying to live my life.
Yeah. Are there in the trans, so I don't know, is there like a trans community?
Yeah, to
because,
a degree.
Because like gay, there's gay bar. There's like gay things.
Right.
But trans, like you said, there's like maybe one trans bar and
it's a sex working bar. Yeah, and it's like, so, it's not like a hangout.
Yeah. Because like gays like sexually other gays.
Right.
But trans don't necessarily.
No, not at all.
So then, like, is there a community? Like, you know what I mean?
It's more like a really loose association. You're talking about, like, a group of people who are, first off, like, what? I think gays, including lesbians, like, cisgendered, queer people, I think they make up, what, 3% of the population? Something like that?
Really?
It's only about 3%.
It was 10.
No, it's about 3. Yeah. And then trans people only make up about, like, 0.3% of the population. It's a very small minority. So it's not like, I mean, New York, we're spoiled in the sense it's just like, oh, yeah, I know several. There's like a fucking network.
0.3%. That's my, like, when they were like, can't support North Carolina anymore because they're not going to change the bathroom signs. I wanted to be like, guys, this doesn't seem like a major issue.
Well, it's a major issue to me.
Yeah. What would you have to do in those cases? Like, the single-use bathrooms don't matter. That's just one.
Yeah, I mean, do you really... do you honestly, like, men watching this or anyone who, like, is up on arms about the bathroom bill, do you really want me, like, straddling up next to you in a urinal, lifting up my dress and pissing next to you? No. I don't want that.
Yeah. I've seen that at some, like, hardcore nightclubs in Germany.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine.
Yeah. Into a nice wine glass. One of the champagne flutes, and she's just like at the urinal, but then like
that is like the most German thing ever. Yeah. Like, were they wearing like a maid's outfit while they were doing that?
They
shit?
Were not, but they might have been. I was trying to look and not look, you know, because you want to be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, I'm cool, but like, I want to see this
because you know that's gonna get drunk too.
Yeah, that's the sloppy version of that.
Yeah, yeah. Because you could have done that in a bucket, but no, you chose a wine flute for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You got a bigger glass. That's the wrong glass.
Fucking like, gross.
You're gonna have to empty halfway.
But no, I don't think there really is, like, I mean, as far as a community, I mean, it's all, most of it's online where you can just, you know, reach out to different trans women, like with whatever means, like through different like Reddits or something like that, or through Facebook groups, I'm sure there are, but it's a lot of how I've met different trans women were like either through dating apps or through like friends and stuff like that.
Yeah. That seems like it might be one of the harder parts is to be like, hey, I'm in this normal is the wrong word. I don't want to use that word, but like non-common life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then gays have other gays like, come on, come here. We'll talk to you.
Right.
You know, we can show you how we hang.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you guys don't really, doesn't seem like you have it as much. It's probably better now with like chat rooms, but like
chat rooms and stuff like that. But like, you know, I don't like gay spaces anymore. Like gay male spaces. Like yeah. first off, when I was living as like a gay guy, that never appealed to me, but it was just like, oh, sense of community, whatever. But yeah, like now it's like, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be confused with the fucking drag queen. Yeah. I don't want to be do that.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, oh yeah, that's probably a standard confusion too.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah. I almost got the shit kicked out of me. Like a friend, a gay friend of mine, his psycho ex-boyfriend, we're talking about like punching glass, getting the call, cops called, kind of psycho.
Yeah.
Like he did drag, and he's just as tall as me, and he was drunk one night. This is trailer park trash we're talking about. Okay. I was just hanging out with my buddy. He was smoking a cigarette on the stoop, and he was just like, oh shit, Robert's coming. And that was his ex-boyfriend, and he came over. He's like, he thought we were fucking because he does drag, and he's just like this one of those queenie bitches, and he's like, get the fuck up. And it was like he got in my face and stuff like that.
No one's more dramatic than drag queens.
He was like literally up in my face and putting hands on me, and I was like, wow, this might get confrontational. Whoa. Like it's one of the closest I've ever gotten to like an actual fight.
Wow.
Because he was drunk enough to actually swing.
That's not what I meant when I meant community though.
No, not what, at all.
What
not
I meant
at
was
all.
This. So like in World War II, maybe World yeah. War I, there were all these gays in like small towns
mm-hmm.
who were just like, maybe I'm evil because I'm having these thoughts. There's sure. no one to like say like, is this normal at all?
Mm-hmm.
And they got drafted, and the people that were doing like the signing them in were a lot of times gays,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, oh, you don't know what you are, do you? And they're like, what do you mean? Like, there's others like you. I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, you come from some small town in Kansas, and now you're in the army with tons of gays.
Yeah,
you know, it's an 80-person town. So yeah, you're the only one, or the other one is not going to share that he's one too.
Right.
And so now it's like, oh, I can sort of like find out who I am by asking other people. That's what mm-hmm. I mean. That's what you guys.
I mean, I guess in that that analogy, New York serves as the army, just because again, we're in we're like in a world city, for God's sakes. It's mm-hmm. not even just like a major American city. It's a major world city where you have people from all over the world coming here. It's like literally the melting pot. That's why I said earlier, like this is one of the best places to transition if you can afford it, is because you know there is so many trans people here, like Bushwick in Brooklyn. It's like kind of like a stereotype, like that's where all like the poor trans. Punk trans really? Women are. Yeah, and I used to live there until about 3 months ago.
You can't afford Bushwick anymore?
Oh no, like I'm couch surfing. It was like I was living in a house with like three other comics, paying one of them under the table the rent and stuff like that. He just decided not to renew the lease on the shithole place, so I lost it.
Oh yeah, Bushwick is like the front lines of gentrification. Of
yeah,
like
it really is.
Where you can live. And then it's like right, and it moves up and down in Bushwick all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, yeah. It's like literally, it's like, okay, which subway stop is safe and which one isn't?
Yeah, yeah. Is there a hierarchy to trans women? You probably know more about than trans men, but like in terms of like, I mean, you see some that are like, you're not even trying.
Yeah.
And then you, who are like, full woman.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm not a gatekeeper. I'm not here to, you know, say one trans woman is more valid than the next.
Yeah.
Sure. Like the woman that I'm living with right now for the rest of the month, she's like my trans mom. I love her. We'll call her Samantha. She's a hot mess. But, you know, she helped me out and supported me. She was there like the day I realized I was trans and like laid it out. It's like, okay, this is what you're getting into. This is what you need to do. I really care about this woman. But like at the same time, you know, she has to spend 5 hours getting ready to go out. I don't, because passing privilege is a real thing that exists.
Passing privilege?
Passing privilege.
Do you see somebody in passing?
I pass. Yeah, yeah. I didn't. You know, no one's clocking me as trans these days.
Yeah, but Stonebush Blues. I think it was
Stonebush.
That might not be in the book. Fuck. It was about a black woman who just looks white.
Oh, okay.
Just having to like deal with like passing. That's passing.
Yeah, you pass as. Yeah, you pass as this. In this black woman passed as white.
Yeah,
so she has like a whole
all the time. Like people are being racist around her. She say something, and she goes, "It's not worth it."
Right. You know? But it's a completely different experience of like being able to pass as a woman and being able to not being able to pass. And you're just like this, you're like a burn victim, honestly.
Yeah. It's, well, like you said, nobody's calling you a guy unless they're trying to fuck with you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never a mistake. So no. Like, yeah. So there's no community. So you wouldn't know if there's like this hierarchy of like, come on.
I have like my own personal opinions with, you know, just like, do I think someone's hot or not? Like, do I think they're trying? But at the same time, it's like, let them do their own thing. There's no right or wrong way to do this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
If they're comfortable with, you know, a lot of the times it's like, you know, some woman will want to get like corrective surgery on their face. They just can't afford it.
Yeah.
That's, you
is
know.
Is that one of the surgeries? Corrective surgery on your face?
Yeah. I had facial feminization surgery.
Oh, wow.
I had
all the four.
I had two rounds of that.
What did you do? Pull your cheekbones in or something?
No, my cheekbones were snatched to begin with. But I had a brow bone reduction. I had rhinoplasty, which isn't technically facial feminization surgery. I just kind of threw that in.
That's a Jewish surgery more than anything.
It's super Jewish. I had a hook nose. Come on, okay. Give me a break. Okay. I had a... And it did not fit my
face.
You had
three trans surgeries.
No, but in one round, I had brow reduction, a nose job, and chin reduction. And in the second round, I had a facelift because my skin on my face was like literally sagging off. And
because
then,
there was less chin there?
Because there was less bone and shit like that. And I had something called a genioplasty, which is like they take like a piece of bone in the shape of a T, they remove it from your chin, and then they bolt the four corners together to make it shorter, smaller.
Oh, jeez.
So I had all that. Those were two rounds in 2019, last year. I had that done. And I paid, that was all out of pocket.
How do you know which ones to get? A plastic surgeon tells you what to make you look.
You can go in with your own ideas. I went to a top shelf doctor, and you know he does this like he's plugging the meter. Like he'll do like five women's faces in a day because he's just like that fucking good.
Yeah.
So he's just like, okay, well, we can do this. We can do this. I think this would look good. And it's like, you're the artist. I'm going to allow you to do whatever you say.
Uh huh.
Because you know you don't fuck with your face.
Right.
And that's exactly what I was doing.
I mean, that's all Hollywood, where it's like, ugh, shouldn't have skimped.
No, not at all. Yeah. Don't do that. You go top shelf when you can.
For that shit.
Yeah.
It's the only reason why I still don't have hair here. I'm like, I'm not getting the fucking, have everyone laughing at me behind my back.
You're tall enough to avoid all that shit.
Is that too? Yeah, I'd be like, I wouldn't know what parts of my face, like individual parts, registered as masculine or feminine.
It's just something that like I obsessed over it for so long and just like what, I mean, have you ever seen those like how to draw books? Like, oh, learn how to draw Marvel characters and shit like that. Yeah. But you know, there are like physical different or like very hard differences on like drawing faces and stuff like that, where it comes to the brow bone, the square, how square your jaw is, how big your chin is. Like those are all secondary sex characteristics that develop during puberty.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, because you can see somebody from the neck up and like, that's a woman or that's a man.
Yeah, you can just kind of tell.
Yeah.
Like, I've had my Adam's apple removed. I had all that shit done because, like I said, I'm super tall.
Adam's apple removed.
Yeah, it's called a tracheal scrape. Isn't that a fun term?
How do you feel after that? What is it?
Oh, I felt great after it. I felt fucking amazing because I hated that fucking
apple
thing.
That's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you hate it? Because it was like...
Because it was huge. I looked like, you know, fucking... what was that pitcher? Randy Johnson? Uh-huh. I felt like I just like this lump right there. It was horrid.
Yeah. Did it hurt? Yeah. It had to. How long did it take to recover? Like, what does Adam's apple do? Does it do anything?
It doesn't do shit. I think it protects your neck in case someone tries to karate chop you there.
Right.
It's just cartilage. That's all it is.
Ugh.
See? Yeah, you're poking at yours right now.
Yeah. Ugh, I wonder what it would be. So they had to go in this way? Or they go in?
It depends on the surgeon. I went through Mount Sinai and they just like cut me open there.
Yeah.
Scraped it. I think they shoved some tubes down my throat to make sure everything was okay. Whatever. I don't know. I didn't care. I was just like, get rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't need to know the nitty gritty details.
It seems almost like I wouldn't have thought of it until, of course, you think of it. Like, that's the number one thing to get rid of almost.
Yeah. It was immediate. Like, I got that within a first year of transitioning.
Do you ever, what are your thoughts on the dick?
On the dick?
Yeah.
On mine?
Yeah.
It is what it is. I wish I liked it a lot more. I really did. Part of me wants to enjoy being like a dick girl. You know, I hate that phrase, but like, you know, it's definitely, you know, monetizable. There's definitely like, it's playing into like, well, if this is my body, I might as well get paid for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You show that stuff on OnlyFans?
Oh yeah, no, like yeah, if you go there, you'll see my dick. I'll show you after when we turn the cameras off. I'll just show you my role. That's right. Fine.
You should do tuck stuff. I mean, do whatever you want for your OnlyFans. You should do tuck stuff, and then just to like, fuck reveals. With them.
Yeah, yeah, it's like yeah. Waka waka.
Yeah.
No, I mean it's like at this stage, it's a selling point. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, what a rarity, what a fucking exotic creature you are. It's like, okay, well, I might as well monetize it. But as far as using it goes, I'm really indifferent about it.
Do you imagine a time when you can get fucked in the pussy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do those...
I mean, it's just so nervous. It's major reconstructive surgery. You said earlier, like in the very beginning of the show, it's like, oh yeah, did you get your dick cut off? That's not what it is.
Right.
They reconstruct your dick.
And they push it inside? Like, what do they do? It's like...
There's different methods.
They give you some nerve endings so you can feel...
There are right. already nerve endings there. But, like, there are different methods. There's a pull-through method. There's There's a method where they use some of your large intestine to create the vaginal wall. There's something called the Suporn, S-U-P-P-O-R-N method, which was pioneered. It's like a trade secret. It was pioneered by this doctor, Dr. Suporn, in Thailand.
Oh.
And he was like a global destination for the surgery. That's like proprietary knowledge. He never shared that information.
How to do it?
How to do it.
So he was just like, you got to come to me to get it?
Yep.
They are so well respected there. That's oh, the yeah. thing. Mm-hmm. The lady boy, whatever you want to call them, but like they're such a part of society there.
Yeah.
That no one even laughs at them.
Nope. It's all like hell. I think there's like, I don't know if it was in Thailand, but like some East Asian country where it was like just some children when they're born, if they, you know, are assigned male at birth, they'll just be raised socially as women
because people can just tell.
They can just tell. I don't know if they can just tell. I just think it's just like I forgot, you know, this is like a Discovery Channel thing that I saw way back in the day, but it was like, no, they just raised these kids as women. Whoa. And socially like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, I don't know enough about it to really know what the dangers are. I don't know how to raise a kid.
No, fuck that. So no, does anyone
like, yeah, or if somebody says like I feel like a woman and then later doesn't. And he was like, oh, maybe that was...
But that's totally... If someone, like, wanted, like, literally transitioned and then detransitioned, that's still fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's... You're on a journey. We're all on a fucking journey. We're still... There's nothing wrong with making a wrong turn and, like, trying something new.
When you... Have you seen people like that?
Detransitioners?
Yeah.
Not personally.
When you hear about them, is there any, like, fucking quitter? Or, like, well, if you didn't know them, you wouldn't say, like, I knew it.
No, it's more like, okay, it didn't work for you. I hope you do find whatever it is that you're missing. There's no animosity there. I don't. No. There, why would there be?
Have you ever heard the theory that transsexuality is a mental disability or mental?
It's a mental disorder.
Mental disorder. Yeah,
it's,
that's the word.
You know, it's transgenderism. Well, again, we're just okay. Now we're just arguing semantics. Like, what's proper in 2020 to say?
Yeah, it's like. Also, by the way, for any of these things, even like Oriental. That's the most. That's we were all raised in the age where like that's already wrong, mm-hmm. but like people 20 years older than us weren't. So it's like they don't mean anything by it. They just didn't get the new word.
Right.
Help them along.
But at the same time, there's those people who are reluctant to change. And like, sure. It's like, what? Well, wow. Yeah. Why should I do this? It's like, well, it was good back then. It's good now. It's like, go yeah. fuck yourself. Yeah. Okay. Times change. Try to keep up.
Yeah.
What was the question?
The mental disorder.
Oh yeah.
Transgender.
Yeah, people think we're mentally ill and stuff like that. It's, no, my mind is fine. My body's what's wrong.
I saw something that said something like the instances of I don't know the stats well enough, instances of suicide mm-hmm. attempts among the trans communities.
Yeah, it's high.
Real high.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, could be for I don't know what.
I mean, it could be
bullied. Could be,
it could you be know. Because you were bullied, because you were expressing gender variance. It could be you're just so repressed that you don't want to live anymore. I was suicidal up until I was 10. I was a very miserable child, like miserable, miserable child. Really? Yeah, I fantasized about killing myself all the time as a kid, and I never understood why until I transitioned.
Because you, what do you think it was?
Because I was like in the wrong body. I had no idea how to relate to.
You're just off?
I was, everything was off. And I did not know why. And it was just like, it just being angry and like not being able to relate socially to like the little boys who are my age. That's how I fell into comedy at such a young age, is because like comedy was my in.
Yeah.
Like if I could be funny, that's how I can be social and have friends for the first time.
It's amazing how much it brings people from such different backgrounds.
That's what I loved about
it. Right together. I mean, religious Christians.
Yeah.
And degenerate drug users.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like, good joke. Oh, I like the way you spun this.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was one of the things that I miss so much about comedy, was like that camaraderie that came with, like, we may be from like different backgrounds, radically different backgrounds, but we're both broken in that fundamentally same way.
Yeah, you can like spend all your time thinking about what's different, but like think about what's the same, and it's like a lot better life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How long do you think you're going to quit for?
I don't know.
It's tough to get back on the horse, from what I've seen from people who like took some time off.
It is. I don't know, and I'm trying not to think too far. I can barely see 2 months into the future, quite honestly. Like
if you're quitting or if you're taking a break, it's a time you kind of got lucky, because it's a time where everybody's taking this break.
Oh, so yeah.
You're not like, fuck off, you quit.
I don't feel like I'm missing anything right now.
You're missing almost nothing.
Nothing.
We're at like 10% capacity of what stand-up was.
That's why I was like so shocked that you reached out to me in the first place. It was like, do you even, like, I have no social media presence. I don't do anything. I'm not like hitting up shows or anything like that.
I don't remember your name. I just remember that. I asked Christine. I was like, who should you have a number?
Yeah.
Oh. She had your email.
Fair enough.
I've been I'm very disorganized.
Okay.
But like, I've been had this in mind to do since fucking Skankfest.
Okay.
So that's why.
Better late than never.
Yeah. Yeah. I have all these things. And it's like, yeah, dude, don't wait for fucking 2 years.
Right.
Old lady. What are some things that people just don't get about transgender people?
That it's a choice.
That it's a choice?
Or that people assume that it's a choice.
I was like, what?
People,
what?
No, it's not a choice. Like, I did not choose to be trans. I chose to do something about it.
Right.
But I did not, like once you realize, like, oh, this is what I am, like, that genie doesn't go back in the bottle at all, ever. Yeah. But people are like, I don't know why you chose to do this on yourself. I fucking hate it when, like, I'm expressing something that's like, you know, shopping for clothes sucks, men suck, dating sucks, you know, just like normal kind of shit. And like a female comic will be like, welcome to womanhood, this is what you wanted. I was like, bitch, fuck you. First off, I've been here for years. Right. Second off, it's like, this is not what I wanted.
Right.
It's like, I didn't choose for men to be assholes to me.
That's also, they do that too. It's like, as I've gotten a little more fame, which I hate, but like, people are like, well, you do stand up, this is what you want. I'm like, no.
No, I didn't. No. Fuck you.
Yeah.
No,
I wanted to sign an autograph once in a while. That's not, this is, everything that comes with it is like,
That's like getting into a car crash. It's like, well, you want it to drive.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you.
I show up my friend's old, he just moved because his daughters were there. His young daughters. And they were like, hey, can you give this note to your dad? And people are like, well, you know, you do stand up. Like, no, dude. Don't be fucking harassing my kid.
No.
Was never part of it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And like, this is what you wanted as a woman. It's like, no, I was a woman.
Yeah. It was just like, this is just like me venting about my life. You don't have to make it about like me being trans right now. It's just like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Well, can you apply that theory to the stand-up?
In what way?
Of like, I don't have to make this about being trans. I am. So it's never not going to be like telling on that. Like me being raised Orthodox Jewish is like, helps me, the Talmud stuff helps me like be real,
cognizant?
No. What's the word? The Spock. What was Spock?
Spock. Oh, Klingon?
No. But his like mental state. Everything was fuck.
Like unemotional?
Yeah. And like real clinical.
Clinical.
It's not the right word. Fuck. Whatever it is though. But okay. Like I can like analyze stuff in a real easy way, because where I just break everything down. So like, of course that applies, but like, I'm not a Jew breaking down a car crash I saw.
No.
I'm just doing it.
I mean, I can theoretically see like a point in the future where I'm at that place. I'm just not at that place right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially you're going through changes.
I'm I literally got tits 3 months ago. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. These are new.
Oh. What were they before? That's kind of
They were like a good B cup. They were a handful.
Just from estrogen.
Just from estrogen. Just the good old fashioned way. Estrogen and progesterone.
Right. Damn, it's so fucking interesting. All this stuff is so interesting. What I meant when it wasn't a big deal, where I mean, like, it isn't a deal that, like, there's lots of small deals to people or big deals to individuals, but, like, what are we talking? I think Che actually posted something. Was like, I've lived in New York for my whole life where trans people, there are a lot of them here.
Yeah.
And he goes, I've literally never seen any trans person go into any bathroom.
Really?
You know, where it's like, it's just not a thing that, like, it's all the time, you know?
No. It's like, it's perceptions in the media. It's whatever is perpetuated and shit like that by whatever person has an agenda.
Remember the caravan?
Oh God. Yeah. Like what the fuck happened to
what
that?
What happened to the caravan?
What happened to the caravan full of Mexican trannies on their way to
coming here to like steal your husbands?
Steal your husbands and, you know, piss on the flag. Like
what bunch happened of, to those caravans?
Bunch of Mexican communist trans women in a caravan.
It was like at both sides were so at odds about it. And did it even exist?
No. If it did, it was like maybe 15 people like walking along the desert. Like that was it. No one, like, but that was like such an inflated thing because they needed it to be an inflated thing.
Yeah. No, they did. And it's like,
because it's all about making an enemy and shit like
they're
that.
They're coming. And you're like, no. And then you're like, wait, what? Are they coming to New York? Are they coming to my apartment?
No, they're going to El Paso.
Right. Like, all right. I guess I shouldn't care.
No.
How do you feel when you go into the bathroom? Are there nerves there?
No. I'm just going to the bathroom.
You just go sit?
Yeah.
Right. That's the best way to do it. It's closed.
No one gives a shit. No one says anything to me. No one's ever said anything to me.
The other way I could see being more of an issue.
Being a trans man going into a bathroom? Yeah.
It's like urinal's open. You're like,
I gotta take a shit real quick. Yeah,
very, very quick.
That has to be annoying, but again, that's not my experience. Right. I can't really speak to that. But no, whenever I go to the bathroom, it's just like, let me just go into the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, in the very beginning when I like was just starting to present as female, of course that was like exciting and shit like that. Like the first one I took a fear dump inside of a TGI Fridays.
What do you mean, fear dump?
I was like, I was with my friend, like I've known him since he lives in New York too. I've known him for like over half my life. He was just like one of my best friends. We were gonna go see a movie, but we wanted to get a drink beforehand, so we went into a TGI Fridays. I had to go to the bathroom, but I was like super, super, super nervous about it, and I was just like, I took a fear shit.
I'll whip one out.
I'll just like, oh, let's just do this real quick.
Did you have a line of like when you were like, I'm going to the women's bathroom now. From now on, I'm going to the women's bathroom. Or even the first time, like, I'm going to go in there.
Yeah, it was like kind of psyching myself up because, like, I had just been presenting for, like, what, a month at that point? I you saw my before picture. It's a little rough.
Yeah.
But,
Dork, really.
I was a dork. But, no, it was kind of exciting in a sense. But I also know no one's going to do shit to me because, again, I have privilege of my height. Mm-hmm. No one picks a fight that they think they're going to lose, you know?
Yeah. We knew this guy, something Kennedy. I forget his name. He died. But he was just a fat redneck.
Uh-huh.
And he would go on, like, he would go to the Middle East and do shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go on, like, raids with them and stuff. Like, he was, like, way in. And
you do raids?
Yeah, like, he'd be like, I'll go with you guys. He would go for it. But he's just this fat, redneck, baseball-wearing cap guy. Gay. And I was like, do you ever worry about hitting on a guy and then, you know, them getting mad that you're gay? He's like, what do you mean? Like, they might beat me up? I was like, yeah, I guess so. I was new to comedy. And he was like, dude, look, I'll beat up anyone. What are you talking about?
I guess this guy was, like, physically imposing enough.
Yeah, he's just a big fucking, like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm scared of him. So it's like,
yeah.
Right, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you don't have to worry about that. And it's the same thing, 6'1", 6'1" and a half. You're like, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Like, literally, like,
what's a woman going to do?
What's a woman going
to do? You're just like, fucking.
Like, I literally know how to throw a punch. Yeah. I mean, I had to learn that the hard way growing up. But, fucking, yeah, like I told you earlier, like, catcallers, I will literally turn around and be like, what did you call me, you pussy-ass coward?
Grab off their necks. And they don't. Rub their neck, like, their feet off the ground.
You weak little boy, like, holding them by the neck.
Yeah. Like Magneto, just like, pulling somebody up. Have you ever heard that the. Okay, I mean, I guess I got to hear your opinion on these sports things.
Okay.
So I've heard a theory on, like, mixed martial arts mm-hmm. being, like, not the best place for trans women to enter.
Okay.
The women's category because they're just far superior, like, bone density and shit like that.
You know, like, that shit changes over time.
So you're
like,
with hormones.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm shrinking. I mean, again, I'm not a gatekeeper, so I'm not going to say, like... The argument that I've heard is this. It's just like, well, what's stopping the Russians in the Olympics from just making a whole team of tranny hockey players and they'll just wipe the floor? It's like, well, first off, I would like to see you try to do that because, like, if you went on hormones, Ari, I guarantee you would have a nightmare of an experience. This is not shit that you do lightly.
Oh, right.
oh, you know, like medically transitioning like this. You do not just dabble in it and be like, oh, I'm going to do this and then fuck around and then I can always switch back. No, it's a little bit more. If you're in this shit, you're a little bit more serious.
I wouldn't worry as much about that. It's like it's the when I see track and field for high schools and like this girl, this 17-year-old girl won gold last year and this year got beaten by like 3 seconds in a 10-second race.
Yeah.
By a trans woman.
Okay.
Where you're like, and then they're like, what? Like, there's just like, are we inclusive or are we like, well, you just guys are going to set every record.
Well, if that's true, then why aren't we getting scouted? Why is that not celebrated? Mm-hmm. No one ever has an answer for that.
Yeah. Why aren't there more trans women in the like WNBA and stuff?
Yeah. Why? If they're really, first off, I don't buy the theory that they are automatically superior athletes. I don't buy that bullshit at all.
Well, there's plenty of female athletes, like track and field stars, that I couldn't.
Yeah, no.
Just because I'm a man doesn't mean I can beat every woman.
No, not at all. But like,
just the odds are higher.
So like, at the same time, it's just like, well, if they really are that like physically superior, why aren't you seeking them out? Why don't you want to win?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, oh, the sanctity
it
of it
should
all.
Be all.
Also, fitness. You don't know like how. When did they start transitioning? Did they start transitioning when they were a child? Did they do it a week ago? They never fucking answer that question. So like, I don't think, again, gatekeeping, you can't be like, oh, well, your hormone levels are X, Y, and Z. You're under the cut. We can't let you perform in women's. It wouldn't be fair. And it's like, first off, you don't even believe in fairness at all. Because if you really wanted this shit to be fair, you would completely get rid of fucking the gender separation and go straight by physical characteristics.
Well, that's what it should be. It should just be like, who's the best at this?
Yeah.
We're not doing a female league
or a male or men's league
or
let's go to mixed martial arts. Why can't 150-pound, you know, 5'8" man fight 150-pound, 5'8" woman?
Right. Well, he'll crush her.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure doesn't like skill come down to it if they are literally the exact same weight
somewhat,
and stuff like that?
I think
that
bone density is like a real thing.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's bullshit.
Really? I would love to see what just sports.
Yeah.
No one likes a WNBA except like 80 women in the planet.
I'll take your word for it because I don't like sports, period.
Yeah. It's just like you like that? Now let's see a worse version of it. Tennis is better because it's like one-on-one competition.
Yeah, and also that battle of the sexes, the woman won back in the 70s with like Billie Jean King.
She did win?
Yeah, she won.
Yeah. That's funny. I'd like to see that. There's got to be a story on that, right? Like a documentary on that.
Oh, I'm sure. And just like an old Billie Jean King. It's like, I whipped his dick. Like just fucking. Yeah.
And then Kaufman saying he'll fight any female wrestler. But that was already like fake.
Yeah, yeah. That was nonsense.
Yeah.
And then he met, you know, Courtney Love and they got married and he got a tumor. So.
It's like, when? Oh, right, the movie.
Yeah, the movie.
How do you tell dudes when when they ask you out? Is there like a line? Let's sure, but I got to tell you something.
Occasionally, like, I mean, I don't really meet too many dudes just like out and about, especially in this age of COVID and shit like that. I mean, the rules have changed, so it's all online stuff. But
in this age of online, where people like, no one knows how to go up to a girl and say like, hey, you're cute,
right?
I'll take you out sometime.
Exactly. I've had a few of those, but it's just. I mean, it's creepy barroom shit. Uh-huh. But I'm usually like really upfront about it in my dating profiles just because it's like, you know, no surprises. I'm not here to trick you or anything like that. I don't want to. And it's not even like trickery. I am a woman. It's just like, I'm sorry. You're going to have to go through the back door if you wanted to fuck tonight.
Right. It's almost like you have to put like, I'm a Trump supporter on your.
It's not that bad. If you, Trump supporter is like being toxic, at least, you know, like they'll want head from me or something like that.
Right. But you'd have to be like, why didn't you warn me? I went out with you 3 times. You didn't tell me you went to Trump. Like that's how divisive it is now. Yeah. Because it would guys go crazy with that shit.
Oh, yeah.
So like it would be almost dangerous to like spring it on them in the moment.
Yeah, no, I try not to do that. But like if some guy's just like hitting on me and stuff like that, it's like as soon as he got like close to touching anything down there, I'd just be like, hey, you need to slow down right now. And again, I'm coming from an area of privilege because I can physically defend myself. Whereas most, you know, if a 5'7" trans woman probably couldn't.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that is like a privilege. I guess, why is privilege a bad word?
You know, my height, I bitch about so often because it really is a double-edged sword for me. It works for me and against me in so many different ways.
Yeah. I was hitting on a trans woman I didn't know online on Twitter. She was cute. She was one of those dress up like...
cosplay?
Cosplay ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, she was hot. And I was like, yeah, maybe I'll, if I'm Vegas, we can hang out. She goes, yeah, that'd be nice, whatever. I'm friends with like Norton and a couple of the comics. I was like, oh, right. Cool. So like, you're cool.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, but I'm friends with Norton. And I was like, oh, are you like dating him? She goes, no, but like, you know. I'm like, no, I don't. What? She goes, well, I've got a dick. I'm a trans person. I'm like, oh, cool. Thanks for telling me. All
right, rad. Awesome. Sure. That's honestly the best response a guy can have. Like when I tell them I have like a penis, is just like indifference. That's the best response. Like, you'd be like, okay, fine, whatever. Doesn't
it's
matter.
Almost like I have a cat. Like,
yeah,
it's I'm not allergic, so I don't care.
Yeah, it means nothing to me. It's, right. Yeah, I like you
do
for
you. Get that sometimes?
Very rarely. Occasionally I'll get some shit like that, but most of the time it's either like, oh, I know, which is not the thing you want to say.
Because then like, oh, you only like me because of this?
Yeah, exactly. There's that aspect, and then they're like, oh, again, fuck me in the ass, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's tricky. I mean, I'm of the opinion that dating sucks no matter who you are.
Sure.
This is just like the flavor of my sucking. That's it.
Do
just
you,
like,
when you date a heterosexual male, cis
mm-hmm,
male,
mm-hmm.
is it like, we're just going to be fucking the ass and doing oral stuff? Is there like a moment to get used to that for the dude, or is it not even that?
It's not even that, honestly. Like the last guy that I hooked up with, I just went over to his place. We were just like smoking weed, chilling, and you know, watching, like listening to music and just talking and stuff like that. And then he said some stuff about like seeing me as only a woman and stuff like that, and not as a fetish. And then I got instantly hot for him. So I was like, oh, really? You said the magic words.
That's
and
great.
And then I initiated sex.
And what did you do?
We made out, I blew him, he blew me a little bit, which I didn't really care for, but it's like, oh, you're into this, fine, throw a dog a bone, go at it, go hog wild. Yeah. And then
that's how I feel about having my asshole eaten.
Oh, really?
Like, if it's your thing, I'll let you, but it's a horror show back there, so I wouldn't do it if I were you.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I keep my shit tight. It's okay. Mine's neat. Yeah. Like, I like that shit. I like getting eaten out. But, yeah, and then he had sex with me, and then he topped me for a little bit.
He topped, but...
Yeah.
Right.
He topped me.
Topped, yeah. You give back?
Oh, yeah, push back and stuff like that? Oh, hell yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you gotta. You don't want to just be a dead lay.
Oh, hell no. I
Yeah.
Girl, I know how to ride, all right?
Yeah. Yeah. What, like, did you lose any friends over it?
Was
there like trauma associated with it coming out?
No. Not at all. Like, literally,
that's great.
All
that's
super
rare.
Rare.
Yeah.
Super uncommon. But I remember, like, all of my close male friends, I came out to face to face, and I was just like, hey, you know, we've known each other a really long time. There's something I need to tell you. I'm trans, and they're just like, okay, that's fine. You're still, as long as I can still make fun of you if you walk into like a light pole or something like that. That's fine.
Right. Which, honestly, that's what it all boils down to. We just want to mock each other for our weaknesses.
Yeah, that's it. Just like for stupid
way.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah. I did have one friend, like someone that I'm like pretty much in love with. I told him via online, and I had not seen him for 10 years. He's like a country boy in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was,
yeah,
like,
you grew up with rednecks.
Not even.
No?
I grew up outside D.C. I was bougie.
Oh, what city was it? Or don't tell me, I guess.
You really want to? I was like Fairfax County.
Oh, yeah, it's D.C.
Yeah, it's D.C.
Same as me, pretty much.
Where are you from?
Originally from Silver Spring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
shit.
It's all the same, like, circle.
Yeah, yeah.
Greater Washington.
Oh, fuck. Did you ever do Wiseacres back
in
the day?
Yeah, I did Wiseacres.
That was my first fucking club, too.
Really?
Yeah, that's where I got started, was Wiseacres.
I didn't start there. I would do guest spots there. And then I got, like, a feature week, which was, like, really exciting. But
I was a house comic at Wiseacres before it shut down in, like, 2008.
It was in the basement of a Ramada or
It was, like, a
Sheridan?
Best Western,
Best Western.
In,
Best
Tyson,
Western.
In Tyson's Corner, Virginia.
Yeah. It was a great room.
No, it wasn't.
It was not?
No, it was a B room. It was just a room. Like,
when I went there, I was doing open mics in LA. The worst place to do open mics.
Really?
So to go from there to like, there's 50 regular humans here. It was like, wow.
I'm sure. I'm sure that's a fucking revelation when you make that jump. But like, when I was working there.
Right. I'm thinking now going there, I'd be like, yeah, that'd be so awful.
Yeah, it was. I mean, hell, it hasn't been open for like 12 years.
Mike Diesel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, I'm friends with Diesel. I love him.
Really?
Yeah, I know. He
was always nice to me.
He was always
like, guest spot.
Yeah, he was always super nice to me. I love him. Him and his wife Patience. I've been over to his place in West Virginia a couple of times.
He lives in West Virginia now.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember him came with his friends, and he asked me once to the comedy store.
Yeah,
I was working there as an employee, and mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I can get you in. Like, I can get anybody in there. There was 10 people in the audience every night. You know? And they walked in before the show started. And I remember them looking around, a place I'd worked for 4 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, this is the Mecca. this is it, the temple. I was like, it's not really like that day to day.
I felt like that about like Gotham the first time I walked in. I was really? Like, wow, I'm really making it. It's like, nope, no, you're fine.
People are like, ugh.
Yeah, just calm yeah, down.
Tell you at Gotham. He's like, sorry, how was it?
Calm down, Greenhorn. It's fine.
Yeah.
Wow, goddamn. I love talking about like old comedy shit like that.
It was
so
just
cool.
Like, it was the 2 day or 3 day a week room, right? It wasn't always.
They had, when I was going there, it was like, you know, they had weekend shows Friday and Saturday.
That was the headliner feature, mm-hmm. MC, guest spot.
And then I think they had like open mics maybe on Monday and Wednesday or some shit like that. Maybe yeah. It was just Wednesdays.
And there was a lot of people from staying there. They'd be like, go downstairs to the
really?
Comedy show. I think so. Or maybe not. I don't know.
I remember...
it was like a long room, right? Like we'd go back.
Yeah, it was really big. It was like... like when you're at a hotel and they just kind of have like, I don't want to say ballroom, but just kind of like conference room kind of
yeah,
a thing.
Yeah,
it was like that, but it was in the basement and it was loungy and stuff like that. I remember, oh my God, I have so many stories about them. I fucked the bartender, not the bartender. I fucked like one of the waitresses there.
Really?
Back in the day. Yeah.
That's such trouble.
Oh, it was so bad because all the other male comics hated me because she had a no sleeping with comics policy and she broke it with me.
Fuck. That does suck. I'm almost taking their side on this. It's like, we've been wanting to fuck her for a while. Like, isn't it her choice? Like, fuck you.
Yeah. But again, I've lived like three different lives at this point.
Damn.
So that was a different.
Who were the big comics there? Was Stork there?
Mike Stork. I remember him. Andy Klein.
Andy Klein was a big DC. And
he was a big DC comic. Wow, Mike Stork. I haven't heard of that name in so long. Andy Klein.
I became friends with Stork.
Oh,
like
did
years, we'd like find each other in Ottawa at the same time or somewhere else.
Oh, cool.
At the same time, we'd be like, oh, let's go out.
I remember, like, because I was just like a little, you know, schmutz of a person back then. Like, I got to like tag along with all the older comics. They'd like me, hey, we're going to go to DC. We're going to drive in after like the show. Let's just drive to DC. And it's like, I, you know, get stoned in the back with the car with them. We'd go through a McDonald's drive through and then check out a room in DC and just hang out. I fucking miss that so much.
Yeah. When I was starting, Ralphie May asked me how long I've been doing comedy. I told him like it was 6 months or a year or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. He goes, ah, fuck, that's when it's fun. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm literally starving. I can't afford food.
Trust me.
Like, yeah.
It only gets worse.
Yeah. But he's sort of right. That thing of like, let's go. Let's just go.
Yeah.
The next thing. We'll be up till 2. I don't know. Let's check out the last 10 minutes of whoever's at the DC Improv. And then
yeah. That's how like fucking comedy was in New York like for the longest time where it's just like you're running around. It's like, let's just do this mic. Let's just go to another mic. Let's hang out. Let's
and
just
let's
do
go to
this.
A diner. Let's all eat.
Yeah. Let's stay out until 3 in the morning and then wind up at Kellogg's or something like that.
Yeah.
I fucking love that shit. And you're just telling road stories and just like or
talking
riffing
about people riffing on something, see somebody leaving and be like, let's just imagine a world for them.
I mean, that's why like fucking Anthony Bourdain and like the whole cooking thing became like such a fascinating thing, because it was like this world, this very niche world, and you're like, oh wow, these are just like some cool people doing some cool ass shit. And that's what I think the fascination is with comedy and stand-up comics. It's just like, that's our world.
Yeah.
And it's weird saying our world, like I didn't just take a fucking indefinite hiatus from it.
Well, then you still think you're a comic.
I still do, yeah. I'm still working on that.
I mean, you know, you have another six, 8 months before you got to like make a decision to come back or not.
Oh, bitch, like we're not getting a vaccine until 2022.
Maybe. It might be right.
Yeah.
Everyone's so like, 10 more minutes, right? The whole time you've been like, tomorrow should be over.
No, this is here for a while because of reasons. Sorry.
Yeah. The gay community was always like, oh, welcome you guys who are scared of diseases. Come on in, we can help you through this.
But I can't imagine, like, I don't think AIDS is that like huge of a deal or super prep.
Mateo,
does he have it?
No, but with PrEP,
I'm on PrEP. Fuck him, he's not special.
But it's like the gay community is like, we just don't give a fuck about AIDS anymore. We're not gonna get it. As long as you're on that thing, you're not gonna get it.
No, it's not. Like, I worked at an LGBTQ health center. That was where I got furloughed from, and it's like literally all I would do was just like take in like who got positive HIV results, enter them into the Department of Health and the AIDS Institute and shit like that, just because we keep track of that shit.
Well, when I was in college, it switched from LGB to LGBT.
Really?
Yeah, and there was no Q yet. It was like they'd made the switch while I was at the University of Maryland.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, what? Too? Like, trans. Like, and we sort of knew what that was. Like, oh, okay. Are they not? Oh, yeah, I guess it's different than
me. I mean, like, literally, like, the whole gay revolution was started by trans women of color.
What do you mean?
You didn't know this?
Mm-mm.
You know Stonewall, like the Stonewall riots?
Down there.
That was started by trans women of color.
trans Latino and black women?
Latino and black. Like the two big names are Marsha P. Johnson. She was more like just present. And Sylvia Rivera.
What'd they do?
Like literally threw the bricks at the cops.
At when they were like, get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Stonewall, they're like, no, fuck off. We're not leaving now.
Stonewall back in the day wasn't like a cis gay man's joint. It was like for the homeless tranny prostitutes in there back
really?
In the day.
Yeah. It's a tourist stop now.
Yeah, I know. It's Disneyland. Yeah. It's gay Disneyland down there. It's so gross.
Walking by, I'm like, oh, they're just profiting on the experience of the thing.
But like literally the entire LGBTQ movement was started by trans women, and it was just co-opted by like these rich white gay guys who wanted to like bang and shit like that. Whoa. Remember when like gay marriage was like super, super popular, or like the fight and the push for it?
Yeah.
And then we got gay marriage. What the fuck happened to those guys? Why aren't they like in the streets for trans women? They're not. They're only in it because they're rich cis gay men, and they can like,
that's what everybody does, is they fight only for themselves. Not everybody, but like too many people fight only for themselves and be like, well, that's not my experience. It's like, you're all you know, Gandhi wouldn't share his a prison cell with a black person.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, because like, no, we're trying to be first class citizens, but fuck, they're N-words. I'm not one of them.
No, not at all.
It's like, what?
Intersectionality, bitch. I mean, like,
intersectionality, you can be many things at once.
You can be many things at once, but also it's like a society is only as good as its least among you. So you have to treat other people who are like not in your position just as good as you. I mean, you have to be empathetic.
Right. That way you have no weakness. You just keep pulling these people up.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, cool now.
You create an army.
Yeah. What did Martin Luther King say about like, if anyone's suffering, we're all suffering? Or was that not him?
An injustice anywhere is an injustice here. Something
all,
I don't
something
know.
Something like that. Yeah, where you have to be like, it's wrong. It's just, that's the rule. It's wrong. So we have to be against it.
Yeah, I know. That's why, like, with Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, it's like, well, my big deal is, like, you know, I want economic equality for, like, you know, most people. But you can't do that without racial equality, because I feel like a lot of our economic injustices are based off of racial injustice.
Oh, say it again.
A lot of our economic injustices are based off of racial tensions and stuff like that. Like, I remember reading a book about life in 1830s Louisiana. Black and white poor people were living together. How do you get the poor white people on your side? Make an enemy.
Oh, right.
And so that's where racism came along.
The lowest three or four groups against each other.
Yeah, it's like, so, well, you know, yeah, I might be poor, but I'm not poor like black people, like kind of a thing. Like, yeah, that's where a lot of this shit came from. Because how do you get like rich white plantation owners to get poor white people on your side? It's an economic issue, but they made it a racial issue, and it's just been perpetuated for like what, 150, 160, 70, 80, 90 years.
Sucks in this country right now. It's
the
biggest thing. It's just not like this in other places.
No,
we're not thinking about it all the time. There's a Muslim situation in Europe, but like, it's definitely not black and white like it is here. It's just nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
When did the trans take over the Black Lives Matter? Did you see that happening?
Because it's Black Trans Lives Matter. Because first off, trans people are disproportionately going to be attacked, and I think nine times out of ten, it's going to, like, a trans woman who's murdered is going to be a black trans woman.
Interesting, because it's like, who will care about them, and then who will care about them, and then it's like, put them together.
I watched a documentary about Marsha.
Black trans hookers are probably like, yeah,
You're just like Marsha P. Johnson. She was a black trans hooker, and even she would say, it's just like, yeah, there was nothing lower than that. Like, you were lower than a dog when you were that, because you're just looked despised so much by the general population.
And so what did she do? She, when the cops came in to shut it down, like they did every so often, kind of like they did like dispensaries for a little while.
They were doing a raid or something like that, just kind of like shaking stuff up. I don't know. And then, I mean, details and accounts are real sketchy on exactly what happened. But like, no, that was a trans bar. That was like for cruising.
She picked up a brick and was like, you're not coming in here. Just like,
I think Sylvia Rivera was like that. There's like a really famous video clip in Washington Square Park of Sylvia Rivera, like at this LGB rights rally. And she's just like speaking to everyone's just like, you know, there's a speaker and stuff like that. And then she grabs the microphone. She's like, shame on all of you for forgetting us, because you guys are making it all about just like cis gay guys and stuff like that. But like, yeah.
What's Q?
Questioning or queer.
What? Can you explain that to me? Even after like... I care, but I'm just like, I don't.
I mean, you know what it means to be questioning something. Yeah, it's an umbrella term when you're questioning something, like, because maybe you don't know.
So early L's are also Q's?
I mean, if you're, or L, early. Or
Like you at 25 would be a Q?
I suppose so. I mean, I really wasn't questioning it back then.
Okay. What is it when you question? Like, what am I?
Yeah, where it's just like, I'm not what I think I should be. I don't know what I am.
Oh.
And you can also just say queer if you don't, you know, that's a good umbrella term.
So do you transition out of queer as you get some answers?
I mean, it depends. It's really your own preference. I mean, if do you feel like you're queer, then you're queer.
Yeah, that's one I never wrapped my head around, the queer was. Queer's just, is a way better.
Yeah, questioning. Yeah. And then there's intersex. What's LGBTQI?
What's I?
Intersex.
What does that mean?
Literally, like, okay, have you ever heard of Klinefelter syndrome or Turner syndrome or alpha 5 reductase deficiency? Because the binary of just like, oh, you have an X and a Y chromosome, or well, you have two X's and you're either male or female. It's like, no, actual genetics are way more complex than that. What if you get three X chromosomes? What if you get two X's and a Y? What if you're missing an X? What if you're just Y? It's much more complex than that. What if you have Turner syndrome and you were born presenting female, but you hit puberty and grow a dick?
But you hit puberty. Oh, right. Oh, right. And then suddenly it's like,
yeah. So that's I.
Oh. Is that going to be part of the thing now?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Why not?
It's all part of, like, it's all a natural part of just the human experience.
Do you care when there's, like, I don't like it when it's racial, to put, like, check off what you are on some form. Because I'm like, I guess Jewish, which is never on there, but like white. I'm like, I guess, but I didn't feel white growing up.
Right.
I mean, I just feel sort of white. More white than black, but like Jewish.
Right. You're Eastern European, right?
Yeah. And so then it's like, that's not on there. So I just put other. I didn't really care though.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it was just a moment of like, I guess white, but not really.
Yeah. I mean, I always felt like that just because I was Jewish too.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, am I really white? Because all these white people are saying I'm not.
Yes, sort of. No.
Depends. Yeah, but it's like, I mean, we are. I mean, let's be real frank about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We are. Yeah. And black Jews are black.
Yeah. Exactly.
Also Jewish. But that's the intersectionality too. But like, when you're filling out forms like DMV shit, they just put X now, right?
For what?
I guess other. I don't know what the X is for. I thought it was for trans.
No, I just say female.
You say female.
Yeah. Because I am. That's what it says on my driver's license and on my birth certificate. I got all that shit updated.
Right. Yeah. Why would you have the X then?
You can also just say like non-responding because it's none of your damn business.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do that on the brace thing too. Yeah. Why would they put the X if you just... It's almost more insulting.
It's just a placeholder. It's just like... I don't know. Some people like literally do not ascribe to any gender.
Yeah, female. Yeah. Binary is the strangest ones. But I get it because I met some binary people, or one in particular.
Or non-binary.
Non-binary, yeah.
You're binary.
Yeah, right. Non-binary.
Yeah.
And then she was like back and forth, and she and he, and you could just see in moments. Like when you do an impression of a dude.
Yeah.
It like comes out. but other than that, it's all F, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know the mannerisms. I know that shit. I was socialized a certain way as a kid.
Yeah, you've done some.
I know how to throw a baseball. I know how to throw a punch. What can I say?
Yeah. Were there any traumas associated with all this for you?
I think the whole thing can be traumatic. Yeah. It's just such a radical upheaval in your life because you're just going along this path that you're on, and then all of a sudden, no, everything's going to change for the worse. It's I don't want to say violent. But it is very traumatic because like everything changes. Everything changes.
Yeah. And then you got to deal with.
And then you have to deal with like the logistical changes of like, okay, like I have my realization. I'm a woman. What does that even fucking mean? How am I going to express that? Like, how am I even going to go get clothing to, you know, express myself that way, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the logistics of that are just so intense. And
yeah, and then it's not just like all shop at women's stuff, like women's 6'2" stuff.
Yeah,
good luck.
It's a bitch. There's a reason why I'm wearing these big clunky boots right now. It's because not too much other shit fits me.
Your feet are never gonna shrink.
They've shrunk a little.
A size?
Mm-hmm.
A full size?
Oh yeah, a couple sizes. I think I was a size 13 men's, which translates to,
yeah, that's why your dick is that big. 13 women, it's like 15 women's,
something like that. And I'm like an 11 and a half now.
So that's what I am. So does your
11 and a half women's.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Which so is like a, I think a nine and a half men's.
Does the bones in your feet?
It's not the bones so much as like the cartilage of the softer tissue.
Gets smaller.
It condenses and stuff like that. Wow. Bone density, whatever.
I really don't understand. I've just heard of it.
I mean, it's not even like density. I mean, if anything, I'm becoming more dense.
Oh, because the cartilage.
Because it's like literally like shrinking. Compressed. Yeah, it's like it's compressing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like also like.
Yeah, whenever you hear those people like making arguments of like why trans women should not be able to compete in like women's sports, it's like, oh, you're just babbling a bunch of pseudoscience shit that sounds right to you. I've forgotten more about organic chemistry than all the science you have ever learned, fucking new jack.
And it's also like, you care about women's high school athletics.
No, you don't. You don't fucking care. You really give a shit about it being fair? You really give a shit about it? No, you don't.
Come on, dude. Stop it.
I'm sorry.
You cheered when Mark McGwire hit 63 home runs. You cheered when all the fucking steroids people were going nuts. And suddenly now you're like, it's not fair.
Oh, no. It's an outrage. Fucking assholes.
Yeah. Do you feel, as a full woman, do you feel at all at a loss for not being able to give birth?
No, not really. I don't feel like I'm missing anything through that. I mean, it'd be interesting. I think I would make a really good mother. I really do think I have that maternal instinct in me, but like that doesn't mean I can't adopt or anything.
I had a vasectomy. I'm always like, if I ever wanted a kid, I'm like, I'll just adopt anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's too many goddamn kids in the world anyway. So like, I never understood the whole like. I have a friend of mine from high school, and he had some questions about trans women. So he has like he wanted to know if not being into someone because they're trans made him transphobic. I'd say yes.
Really?
Yeah, because it was just like he was like, well, I want to have natural kids. It's like, well, you can fall in love with a cis woman who has like cancer.
Yeah,
and so cannot have kids.
Doing that.
There's plenty of infertile cis women that will never give you a child, and you're not barring them for that.
Is not being into black chicks racist or black phobic?
I don't know. I have no real strong thoughts on race because I like to live in my white little world.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, it's... Oh,
I mean, it's literally not like it's nice. It's like it's great. Black people, if you're watching, it's lovely here. Yeah, I don't... I think I may be transphobic. Or it's just like, I don't know, I don't like fat chicks. What do you want me to do?
I mean, I'm just preparing for like, you're recording, so are you going to put this on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I know the comments are going to be like, someone's going to be calling me a man or something like that. But it's like, they would do that to any trans woman that you had on your guest show. So I'm not, like, I can't take that shit personally.
That's what it is too.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of the internet comments is like, what do I think you're going to care about?
Yeah, no, so they're like, literally trying to get a rise.
Right, exactly. If you were black, they'd be throwing the N-word in there, and if you're not, then they wouldn't.
But yeah,
it does, that's they don't feel that way either way.
No, they're anyone who's listening to this right now and thinking about making a YouTube comment, first off, you're a faggot. Second off, bring it on, because I'm not scared. Say whatever horrible, mean, stupid, pedantic shit you're going to say. Go ahead. I don't care.
Yeah. This has been really interesting. I'm trying to think what else like I've always kind of wanted to know about. Is there a term for the verb of it's transitioning? That's the verb.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the bottom surgery.
No, it does not include bottom surgery.
Yeah. Can you tell me this and the listeners just too? I have this theory because everyone's like, well, I don't know what to call them. If today they're not this, I'm saying the wrong thing, they're getting all mad. And my theory is, dude, literally almost nobody you know actually gets mad. They'll just correct you. It's like, it's they.
Yeah.
But just, no big deal. I get where you were raised. The same world I will ever. So like,
everyone that I've ever heard of seeing like, well, you can't expect, you can't expect people to just like pick up on this he, she, they thing. It's like, yeah, I can. You're a fucking white baby boomer. Those are the only people who make that argument are white baby boomers. So white cis male baby boomers. And it's like, I'm sorry, grandpa. You're just going to have to like.
How do black dudes deal with it?
Deal with what?
I don't know. All the new pronouns and...
I mean, I'm seen as a woman by black guys, and so they're just like, girl, you fine.
Yeah.
That's it.
Black dudes just want to get it.
I mean, yeah. I'm not going to speak for every black dude, but because I'm clearly an expert. But no, my experience is that black guys love trans women.
I feel... well, you definitely could correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like Latino men are the number one, like, oh, we love.
No, I think they're the most, I think they're kind of the most transphobic, actually.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not including, like, Jamaicans, because Jamaicans are, like, the most prejudiced that I'm aware of.
Jamaican Latinos?
No, Jamaican black.
Blacks. Oh, right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Where it's just like, no, gay people don't even exist. You're not allowed to be gay in Jamaica, and if you're trans, you're dead. Like, it's
Tanzania, too. It's illegal.
Oh, is it?
I was thinking of like, going there for a while, and they're like how is it on a you know, gay rights? You're like, pretty bad. You should look into it before you go.
Why would you want to go to Tanzania? Yeah.
I'm to go somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, that's fair.
Shut down.
Yeah, yeah. It's COVID. You got to go somewhere that doesn't have it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it makes sense. Is there anything else I'm missing that you were like, God, I wish people knew this?
What I wish? I don't know. There's
yeah,
like,
I don't even know a spokesman.
There's like, I'm not a spokesperson, and it's more of like, it's like anything that I'd want to share, it's very circumstantial in the sense of just like, oh, some guy is hitting me up online because they want a date, but they're saying shit like, I want you to shoot fucking wads of cum down my throat. And it's like, literally, my dick does not work that way, nor does that even sound appealing to me.
Yeah, it's like, I think you want to be demeaned, and I think you got to find the person that's going to do that.
I mean, if I'm going to be demeaned, I want it to be like, sexy demeaned, not like demeaned.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
it's
right.
Like I want it to be like in a very controlled way where it's like, yeah, I don't want to get the shit kicked out of me. Yeah. I do want to be like, I do want to have some rough sex though. You know
like
what I mean?
A lot of like, you filthy slut. And then there's also like, you're a bad dresser. Like, whoa, what?
Where is this coming
very
from?
Demeaning. That's not the right kind.
It's personal. I like this dress. Assholes.
Yeah. Lady, I appreciate, I never call people lady, but, I appreciate you coming down here and doing this.
Oh, thank you.
Were you
pleasure.
Reticent to do it at all? Were you like, well, how's this going to go?
I was a little worried that you'd just be like, you'd, because it's, you know, called the skeptic tank. I thought you'd be more like, defend transness to me. And it's like, I literally don't have to defend shit to you. It's, if you don't get it, you don't get it.
Skeptic is a commonly misunderstood word. It actually means just questioning.
Okay.
So like, question, but, and then go back to what you're already thinking is fine,
but like more I it has that connotation of skeptical, just like of skeptical.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I don't really believe you're trans. I don't believe anything that you're saying. I was a little worried it might be something like that, but I checked out a couple of your episodes. It's just a fucking talk show.
Yeah
it's fine.
Pick a topic, that's all.
Yeah you just had some very, you know, specific things you wanted to know more about, that's all.
Yeah, Nick, if you come back, can we talk about the crazy house?
Oh yeah, I'm just realizing now I just had like one boob out the whole time. That's great.
I've been noticing.
Oh, you could have said something.
What am I going to say? Put away your boob? I'll be a sellout.
It's always just like
everywhere.
It's just one tit. Just like,
it's that, you're right.
Like
tit.
I'm like the Virginia State flag or something like that. Just one out.
I was just waiting for you to look forward and I go down and then I go back up.
It's a learning curve, God damn it. I've only had them for 3 months, all right? They're fine.
That's what you should call your tits now. Learning curves.
Learning
curves.
No, Spirit and Opportunity. Those are the names. I named her after the Mars rovers.
You are going to get some like new opportunities from them.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get people like, come sit with us.
Oh, absolutely. I get that all the time. Just like, I think one of the best things I've ever experienced was like, before COVID, I was getting on the subway and two guys, it was like bench seating, and two guys were kind of like taking up that like third middle part of the bench.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of like sitting there and they saw me. And then they just both very hurriedly moved to the sides.
To help these.
And then I'm still standing there because there's like a piece of napkin just like waiting there. And they're like,
Boys.
Just like reaching for it. They're like, no, go ahead, sit down. I'm like, oh, don't that's mind if great. I do.
That's great. That's great. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Being a woman in a lot of ways is fucking awesome. I'm not just saying that because it's like, oh, yeah, that's what my brain needs and stuff like that. I mean, it's like legitimately fucking cool.
I think we could come together as a group so much better if you just said it's harder to be this, but also it's a lot easier in some ways.
Oh, yeah. No, like I'm well aware of like how privileged I am in a lot of my experiences. Like I said, I didn't lose anyone when I came out. I'm white. I'm 6'2", so like no one's like really stepping to me. I try to acknowledge that kind of shit as much as possible.
You know, so like I had this friend, Aaron Cater, and after 9/11, Mitzi, the owner of the Comedy Store, she was like, I want some Arab comics. I want to get some Arab comics and promote them in here. Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting take that I haven't been really aware of much. And she got Mouse Jobrani, so it became a massive comic, this guy Ahmed Ahmed, and Aaron, and I ran with Aaron. We did open mics together, and he's half Palestinian. And since she was looking, we're like, hey, we know this Palestinian comic. He can get in. And he showcased and he got in. And we all felt like, yes. And it was before everyone's at each other's throats, right? So I'm sure part of it was like, well, you might not have even gotten the showcase if you weren't half Palestinian. But you did well, and you're our friend. So, like, whatever excuse it takes,
right?
Now you're in.
Right.
Congrats.
But I'm sure, like, before 9/11, that his Palestinianism would have been a hindrance.
Right. Even afterwards, too.
Even afterwards, yeah.
Yeah. Just not at the Comedy Store in that moment. Yeah, I'm sure people are like, who the fuck are you? You
know? I mean, what characteristic is going to be a liability and a feather in your cap? It just, like, literally depends on where you are and when you are.
So, like, right now, my black friends who are, like, writers, it's like, dude, cash in. Like, they are looking for you harder than ever. If you got a script, fucking finish it off, work on it. Dude, the ones I think are talented.
Right.
Because the bad part is some untalented person, like, all right, you fucking do, get up there. You know, but there's talented ones all over.
Of course.
So then it's like, now's your chance. Now's your chance to get in. You do whatever you want with your career.
Right.
If you did a solid whatever, they're looking for you.
Right.
To put on TV and to put on wherever.
I'm
sure
they are. So if
you just met your end of the bargain, like, you would be wildly successful.
I'm sure it is. I don't know. I'm just, like, such in a weird place where it's like, I think everyone in comedy is, like, in such a weird place, because I would love to talk about the absurdities of, like, the Trump administration, for example, but at the same time, I'm just, like, I feel so creatively tapped.
Well, there's that, too, where nobody feels like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to, like, a friend of mine, she's trans, too. She's a comic out in Houston. Her name's Kim Bertrand. Like, she works for a production company. We're actually trying to get a show together where we do, like, travel stuff. And, like, go to places like fucking Alabama, not to deride it, but to be like, what's in Alabama?
Right.
What is it? And, you know, can, you know, even my, you know, it's not playing off the fact that we're trans, but it's like, we are trans. Let's just, like, can we exist in this place?
Yeah. So, like, and it's like a detail of your experience. So, like,
yeah.
How's barbecue food? Or, like, exactly. Not Alabama so much, but let's say it's awesome. Yeah, like, I mean, how's barbecue? It's
right.
Like, that has nothing to do with it. Was I yelled that in line? Maybe does, you know?
Right, right.
So, like, Henry Rollins, the big, he goes traveling a lot. So he talks about his travels, but he loves records.
Okay.
So a small part of his travel stories are this cool record store in Barambatu or something.
Right.
You know? But that's just since he's so into records, it comes out almost everywhere, but it's a small part of it.
Right.
Yeah, a travel show.
I would fucking love to do
a comedic take on everything, because you're going to be doing way better jokes than fucking Anthony Bourdain did.
Oh, God, yeah. No, you know? I mean, no one really liked Anthony Bourdain. They liked his life. Yeah, he was not a good person.
I talked to chefs, like, that guy sucked as a chef. I'm like, yeah, I don't think he was selling that. I think he was just selling.
He was just selling his book and his traveling and shit like that. He was selling his charmed-ass life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that charmed. Obviously, it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, I know also artistically you got to do what, like, your inside what pushes you to, like, to do.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, you can't just say, like, I can be successful, so I'm going to do it. You have to be driven to it. But
man, I was driven to comedy for, like, since I was 12, like I said, but it was just like, I need to take, like, this little break just to get my head on order. And no, I would want to get back into stand up because honestly, I feel so fucking lost without it.
Yeah.
It was like my drive since I was 12.
Yeah.
It's over 20 years. So, like, to not have that is very disconcerting.
Yeah, it's like an athlete when they retire. Like,
yeah, it's like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah.
But, no, you're saying that, like, there's a market for me? I mean, I know there is, just like, you know, that's why I have my OnlyFans, but...
But there's checklists, like it or not. So, like, there's two ways to handle a checklist. So, when I booked a TV show for a while, there's two ways to do it. Like, get any black or any woman, whatever... Or like, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have a shitty show just so I can say I checked off a box. So then it's like, we would look harder for... So like in Indianapolis, we found a black woman named Miss Pat who was hilarious.
Right.
In Delaware, we found... You know, there's like... there's people out there.
Of course.
You have to just look harder to find quality ones.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had... Like, you're into the bargain, which is just getting up and getting better and better and better. It's like, if you submitted a story to me for that show... there's no way I'm not watching it. There's no way I'm like, I don't know. I'm for sure watching it. And if it is good enough, there's no... I'm not going to have any hurdles. Whereas some of my, you know, like, mainstream friends, I'll be like, can I get this guy? And he tells a great story. Like, I don't know. And it's like, so it's like hurdles you have to overcome.
Right.
You won't have those hurdles.
Interesting.
Now, you would still have to hold your end of the bargain up.
Of course. I still have to be funny and talented and all that.
But, like, you get people off your back. If I have you on a show of five people, there's a bunch of bloggers who can't come at me today.
Oh, God. You know? Wait, you're just using me as, like, fucking armor?
Because I personally would never have you on if you're not going to be good.
Fair enough.
But if you are good, that's a nice extra benefit.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Or if your dad runs a network, that's also a nice benefit. Maybe I can get a TV show in there. That's not why I'm going to book you, but, like, you know what I mean? It's that extra thing. That's what I mean by they're looking for you.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Those checkboxes are fucking... it's too much now. But like, if you did it well, Tim Dillon has that. He doesn't pretend. He doesn't say he's gay a lot, but he is. So it's like, fucking check it.
Fair enough. Also, I don't think he's like the best representation of like the gay community
at
all.
He's a terrible representation.
He's a horrible one.
But he checks off their box.
He does.
Like, we don't care. Or like a very light-skinned Latino person. Like, what is he, like Cuban? Like, yeah, all right.
Okay, yeah, that works. Yeah, fucking hell.
So that's what I mean. I mean, like, take the opportunity.
I really should. Again, if you wanted to book me on a show or something like that, I would not say no at this point, you know? Yeah. I could still literally do like my old material. None of it's changed. It's just like I got to update it for COVID. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of it just for me, the first like 2-3 times I went on stage, I'm like, I can't do any of the old stuff. It seems so foolish. Black Lives Matter has happened and 150,000 people have died. Like,
yeah, it's bullshit. It's like 190 going now, on like 200. Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to do my joke about the Avengers.
Like, yeah. Like it feels so trite doing that shit. If you're not talking about like what is currently going on right now and like, everything just feels so like,
yeah.
Ugh.
After 9/11, I was working at the store and I remember calling people like, are you coming in the next week? And Joe Rogan was one. He wasn't nearly what he is now size, but like,
right. And this is before Fear Factor.
Yeah. Before Fear Factor. And he goes, I'm not a monkey. I can't get on stage right now.
Right.
Like, I'm not just like, time to go up. It's like, dude, our innocence is fucking gone here. Like, I have to think about all these things. I can't just get up.
Right. I mean, we're not monkeys.
Yeah, like we're not monkeys.
As much as we are, like, trying to train ourselves to be just like that performing, like, shit-on-command monkey. But, like, no, we can't. We're multifaceted human beings.
Yeah. Although, I just realized now, his production company literally is called Talking Monkeys. but he did say I'm not.
Yo, okay, he just got better then. He just got better at regurgitating. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, thanks. It was great.
No, thank you. I had a great time.
Coming in. This was like interesting and funny, which is like my ideal, which like had to be conversational, interesting.
Thank you.
Not like wallowing in self-pity.
No. This was no self-pity here.
Yeah.
It was great. I enjoyed it a lot.
Hell yeah. All right. I got money for you.
Oh, really? Awesome. $2. Fuck yeah.
So that's it. This is your, like, we said a bunch of times, but guys,
yeah, OnlyFans, sexy
giantess. If you want to see
me naked and get off on that, that's kind of what I'm selling.
Yeah, and if you're on Instagram, go to Margo Agogo, right? Margo _ _ Agogo. Thanks, Margo.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Okay, disclaimer. Right off the bat, disclaimer.
Okay.
This is coming back, but, well, this is good proof. So we got high. So I had another question. I was trying to read this question for the longest time. I couldn't read my own handwriting, but I remember what it was, but we got high, so it's going to be a bit different. So, disclaimer. But, Caitlyn Jenner, that's what I want to ask. What kind of fucking, is she a hero to you guys, to you ladies, or what was it like having somebody that big stream come out?
I mean,
as trans.
Okay, for me, it was like, first off, she's a monster. Fuck her in every respect. She's warped because of her money and privilege. It has warped her fucking stupid, weak-ass mind. Okay.
She's crazy now, right?
So she's insane. And I don't condone anything that fucking woman does. But I will say this. For her to come out, what she basically did was jump on the biggest fucking grenade in the world for us.
Wow.
That is what I truly fucking believe, because she took like all that immediate, oh, ha ha, he, like the he, she, jokey joke stuff. She took the brunt of that socially. So the next person to come out, it was like, okay, who fucking cares? We've been there, done that.
Wow. Yeah. Because everyone's got to make jokes, snide comments.
It was a watershed moment. And I don't want to attribute. I hate attributing that to her, but I can't not do that because she's like such a fuckhead.
Yeah, she got all the bullshit out of the way, and now people are like, yeah, we got out of our system.
Yeah, I mean, I think it made me coming out so much easier, because it was just like, okay, yeah, you're just another one. That's fine.
It is a known thing now.
What is?
Trans. Because of that.
Because of that. Yeah. Well, it forced the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, like whatever it did, it's like it normalized it completely. It was like, oh, we've heard of this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's still like the worst representative for trans people.
You see the South Park thing where it's like she ran over someone.
Yeah, she says stupid shit. I tried to do as little with my knowledge based on what I'm paying attention to with her as possible. Yeah. You know, like that's fuck her.
All right, but the fucking in that way.
But
it's a good way to say it. The hand grenade is a good way to say it.
Yeah, but I mean, there's like so many other like famous trans people who like did it. Like, I think Chelsea Manning is a fucking American hero.
Boom. Why?
I fucking love her. Well, first off, she fucking transitioned in a goddamn military prison.
Oh yeah,
that is the most hardcore shit I can think of.
What a wrench in that story too.
Yeah,
it's like he's being tried for treason. And then, but then it was like, no, it's not, that's how we were getting it.
Okay.
He's being tried for treason. It was like, wow. And did he collude with the guy, the WikiLeaks guy? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, turns out that's a woman and she's going to get surgery in prison. You're like, wait, what? Where is this story going all the time?
I don't know if she got, I do not know, but she like started hormones and stuff like that. At least.
It was just a crazy story. It was a spy story. And then mixed with that too.
Yeah. It's just like, it just, no matter, it, like, trans isn't like the story. It's just like additive to the story.
What does she do? Take stuff for,
She like just exposed a lot of war crimes we were doing.
Yeah. And why is she in jail?
Because she exposed war crimes we were doing.
What'd she do? She sent it to press or WikiLeaks?
I think she just like blew the whistle on it. I can't remember. I'm so fucking high.
We do not.
I do apologize for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
might be the wrong conversation to get it too high.
But exactly.
Like, what a weird world we live in where it's like someone's talking about how we're doing shit wrong and they're in prison for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Way to take one for the team, lady.
Yeah. No, but I
better example and got a lot of jokes out of the way also.
Maybe. Yeah, there you go. Fucking A.
All right, we should not have done this high again, but we'll do the stuff about. All right, well, thank you. One more time, everybody.
Round thank you, applause. Thank okay. you.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doo 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 doo.
That was the episode, everybody. Did you enjoy it? Look at that fucking shit. Can you see it? Oh, I love doing these fucking things. Oh, I should have had it lower the whole time. Look at that. Look how the mountain fucking, the city goes right up into the mountain. God damn. The fog just comes in over that. There's hills over there. The fog, that's like three mountains together. Oh, this is fucking cool. I got to do this more often. And then the fog rolls in there like a river down to where the city is. City of Pompeii. Oops, I said too much. Like I'm really going to. Anyway, that's the episode. Thank you very much, Margot Reese, for coming in and being so open. That shit she said, two things that really, really stuck out to me. And one thing she said after the podcast was over. What she said about Caitlyn Jenner was really interesting. She didn't kowtow and was like, this is a wonderful woman. She was like, I love her. She's a piece of shit. But it was, I found that really interesting that she was like,
She took all our abuse for us. She ate all the fucking shitty jokes. And then when we came out as trans or whatever, it was like, everybody's already used their jokes. It was already kind of normalized. And in that way, I was always like, you know, when Ben Shapiro had this thing too, where he's like, I don't know. And I had this too. It's like a lot of times people have a problem with just word choice. So they go like, I don't know, so brave to do this. What, like Hannah Gadsby, so brave to open up on your special. And it's like, well, not that brave. What was going to happen? It was your fan base, you know? People are like, oh, you didn't like it? I'm like, no, it's not that I didn't like it. It's just like, when you use words, and I'm like, I don't fully agree there. And when they call Caitlyn Jenner brave or a hero, I was always like, well, a hero? Fucking, what do you mean? What do you mean? What other heroes are there, do you know? Superheroes? Caitlyn Jenner's nothing like that. Somebody who lifts a fucking fallen shoulder, somebody's injured, like Robert Patton did in Vietnam, World War II, and the war in Iraq, and many secret wars that we're in that no one can admit to. Lift an injured shoulder over, soldier over your shoulder and fucking carry him out. That's a hero, sure. Who else is a hero? I don't know. But then when you're like, I don't know, somebody's going to be on the cover of fucking GQ. We're all like, I don't know. But then when you put it in Margot's terms, you know, when you put it in the terms of like she was a hero to us, it's like, you know what? I never thought of it that way. And then I can see it. That, and then after the podcast, and help show me this. So I told you, she has a background in neuroscience. At Margot_go_go on Instagram. Let her know how you like the podcast. And again, if you want to see a lady with a fucking hog, go to OnlyFans.com/sexygiantess. So I was asking her afterwards. We got high. We talked. And I fucked up not asking her before we got high about Caitlyn Jenner. But I was like, she was telling me about the feel of a pussy. And so she broke it down with like all the fucking brain terms, you know. Your amalgamum, or I don't know, that's not the right word. And she goes, so you ever see somebody, and I'm going to paraphrase this, Margot, I'm not getting it right. If you guys want to get the actual way to say it, ask her on Instagram, DM her. It was also interesting, you know what I hadn't known either? It's like there's gay bars, there's lesbian bars, every bar is a straight bar, there's black bars, white bars. There's no trans bars because trans people don't want to fuck other trans people, except a very few. They're just, she's just a chick. Like what she said, too. It's like, I get Botox because I'm still a woman. She goes, imagine someone with a phantom limb. You ever see that? Phantom limb syndrome? Your arm gets cut off. And some of those people can itch. They have no left arm, but their left arm itches. And she goes, why is that? She goes, because your brain, your left arm doesn't actually itch. It's just sending signals to your brain that's saying this is an itch. Kind of like when you have a sugar rush, a sugar craving, and if you eat raw almonds, that'll solve the craving. Because the same shit that's making you crave sugar, raw almonds take care of that. You weren't craving raw almonds, but it'll take care of that urge, right? The brain's weird. And so I feel my arm right now. I have a limb. And if someone doesn't have a limb, do they stop feeling? Does that part of their brain go away just because their arm got cut off? It doesn't, right? The brain's still there. So the brain here or there will tell you you have an itch in your arm. There's no arm to itch. But your brain is still telling you that's true. So her theory, and I like it, hypothesis, I don't know, is that since she's a woman, born with accidentally a giant fucking hog, you guys got to see it. Her brain, because she's a woman, is telling her she's got a puss. She's got a vagina. And so she feels a vagina because her brain is sending the same signals of what she was supposed to have of a vagina. But it's not. It's a dick. But she doesn't feel the dick. She feels the vagina. I'm not getting it right. But do you kind of understand that? It's interesting. It's an interesting theory. Anyway, you guys, that's the episode. Did you enjoy it? Again, thank you very much for Sheath Underwear for providing excellent, excellent ball to leg protecting underwear for men, and now for the first time in Sheath Underwear advertising history, for women as well. We have learned something today, haven't we? sheathunderwear.com. Use promo code Ari. Get 30% off your first order. And you can keep sponsoring fucking far out podcasts like this one. 20% off your first order if you do it after 2021 starts. But before 2020 is over, 30%. That's a fucking, what do you mean? That's a third, dude. Are you crazy? Fuck yeah, that's your own business. Isn't that cool? So that's the episode. Thank you again, Margot Reese, for doing it. And next week, I don't know who's on next week yet, but we got a lot of good ones coming up. And then, I don't know, I'll make some travel videos too. I got to make a video. I'm going to make a video about me packing minimalist style, and show you how little I took for 3 to 6 months on the road. And you can too, guys. Get out there. I mean, whatever. Not now. Maybe there's some restrictions, but fucking get out there. And it's raining right now. Perfect timing. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 407. 6, 7. It might be 408. I think it's 408. 405. 404 is John Boy. 405 was, I don't know, maybe it's, I don't know. 406, 407, 408. That lady with the giant hog. With Margot Reese, over and out. Goodbye, everybody. I'll see you next time. Fucking look at that. Yeah, you can see it all now, right? I climb up there, but I am fucking, I'm in no shape. All right, thanks, you guys. I'll see you on patreon.com/AriShaffir. I'll see you on YouTube next week, and I'll see you on the RSS. iTunes and everywhere else. I'm going to record a new Sixth and Jump only for patreon.com/sixthandjump with Dan Soder and Big J Okerson. Bye.